It's Seven Land Hand Extra, brought to you by Good Game St. James. Today, Conspiracy, with the emphasis on racy. Yep, it's the sexiest magic release since Slutty Liliana of the Vale pulled on her black stockings. Hey, eight drafters walk into a bar. One said to the other seven, "Give me a pint of Echoing Courage." His mate replied, "Oh shit, this isn't Good Games," and they all left. Hey, not funny? Well, neither is the next hour and a half, but we're here together, so hold hands, assume a position, grin and bear it. We've got Conspiracy, or Conspiracy?
Conspiracy.
Aaron Graham Premonitions, your tweets and posts. Yeah. So, to join me, as always, for this Seven Land Hand Extra, I have lurking Aaron Tomatom Graham.
Yeah, that's me. Hello.
That's you. Yeah.
Bonjour.
Yeah. Welcome, Aaron. Have you got a crook in your neck from the sideways orientation of these Conspiracy packs?
Yeah, I pulled them out of the box and they're all like the weirdly
wrong,
flat.
And we'll send them all back.
Yeah. And the box is a weird shape, so you pull the plastic off it, slide off the little poster that tells you how to draft it, and then you fold it outwards like opening...
Butterfly wings.
Yeah, butterfly wings.
A beautiful butterfly. Yeah. Papillon.
Like a papillon.
A papillon. That's for our French listeners. We love all our French listeners.
Bonjour and papillon, the words
papillon.
That I know.
Yep. Yeah, papillon, papillon. Yeah. Carry on, papillon. Great movie, that. Is it?
Was that the French edition of Carry On?
Probably.
Carry On Camping, Carry On Papillon.
Well, before the pod started, I've definitely learned that in the race for who can eat an almond magnum quickest, Mr. Aaron Graham.
Yeah!
First place. I cheated a bit, as you can see. I got chocolate on my notes.
Oh, yeah, so you didn't eat all of
it. I didn't eat all of it
in the magnum.
I'll have to... I'll have to finish that off later.
Yeah. No special guests this week.
There's no need.
Oh, my goodness.
No, we're
there's
focused.
No need.
There's focus. We've got to focus on this.
That's
we don't want any distractions. We just wanted to get in the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop saying conspiracy.
Conspiracy,
now.
Yeah. It's one of those swamps. Yeah, it's like one of those things.
Stuffed it up now. there's no need. There's no need for a guest. We're just going to, focus on the good stuff
just
that is conspiracy.
Jam it out.
Oh, it's got piracy in it. Conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Is that a Wizard's way of saying that they've copied this off somebody else?
Oh,
they've,
right.
They've gone all Games Workshop.
There was a game called Cons, and Wizards of the Coast just stole that. They had like a draft element multiplayer thing. So it's just Conspiracy.
Some local games designer was just working on it, and it was genius. And
my name's Colin. Call me Con. Con, was it?
Oh, okay.
We'll credit you in the name.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
There's no money coming your way.
It's Conspiracy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's blob and get into this.
Conspiracy.
Aaron, how do we play Conspiracy?
So Conspiracy is...
Yeah. Oh, that's a different game.
That's a slightly different game.
Yeah, okay. Conspiracy.
Let's just take the rules from that one.
Let's call it Conspiracy. Fuck it. Let's do that.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
So each year, Magic are doing their...
They get silly.
They get silly. They get silly once a year.
Crazy in the brain.
Yeah. They do, instead of the usual standard fare, a box comes out, adds to standard, adds to modern, whatever. They bring out one of these supplemental products. Last year, this time, was Modern Masters.
Modern Masters.
Which was them injecting a bunch of good modern cards into the format. And so people were really excited to open these expensive booster packs.
Yeah.
Their one this year is a multiplayer draft format called Conspiracy.
Yeah.
Conspiracy. And what you do is you draft these brand new booster packs.
Yeah.
A selection of cards that you've never seen before, and there's 15 cards in the pack. The basic land's been replaced with a special multiplayer geared card, and there's reprints and new cards from sets as well. And then after you've drafted in your 6 to 8 players, you split into two multiplayer games.
How do you decide the split?
You can just do it randomly. You can do it with a group of people that were on your side of the table. It's generally random because you don't want to be making your draft picks based on, oh, I'm going to crush this guy over here. So it's random.
So the split happens after you've drafted.
Yeah, split happens after you've drafted. And
so you keep away from that guy that's been going, the whole time.
Oh, I'm going to crush you all with this. Yeah. And you don't have to listen to them anymore. Thank God.
All right, so you split into two.
Split into two multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Or one giant 8-player multiplayer game if you're a glutton for punishment. That sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it does.
But I think you could do it with six. I think if you had the six-player draft, you could do a big six-player draft.
Wow.
draft game.
Yeah.
And then you play a multiplayer game with 20 life each.
Yeah.
And there's a few cards that we'll explain in a minute that affect how you play and how the multiplayer game goes.
You attack anybody. Yeah, it's not like a circular
attack
thing.
Anyone. It's not attack left or just attack right.
Yeah.
You can pick on whoever. And there's a lot of emphasis on this multiplayer aspect of it. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of, if I block this guy, I'll be able to kill this thing for you if you help me out on this turn.
Hence, conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
See, negotiating and bartering and gambling. Yeah. And
because you only have 20 life. In these multiplayer games, nowadays when you play them, it's 30 life if you're just playing with standard decks or modern decks or whatever. But if you're playing Commander, you've got 40 life. And so you've got a big buffer. You can take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 damage, and it doesn't even matter very much. In Conspiracy, your life total is very important.
Yeah, because you could, the cards are all, not wanting to jump ahead too far, the cards are all regular powered creatures and stuff like
normal
that. And
power
spells.
Level.
So if three guys decide to pick on just you in a round,
they can knock you out in one big hit.
Five health damage each time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's life points. You can be down 15 before you even started.
Yeah, and it just means flyers are really good, all these evasion creatures
stuff
and that sort
strong.
Of thing.
Yeah.
But also they have a lot of really good incentives that they've put in the set to make it so that doesn't happen. There's a few mechanics called Dethrone, which gives the creature or you a bonus if you're attacking the player that has the most life.
Yeah.
So say you're on 16 and a guy's on 20, hasn't been damaged yet, and the other two people are on 18.
Yeah.
You're incentivized to do it because you get a permanent bonus on the creature with Dethrone.
Ah, yeah.
And then there's some other things like that. There are some other things that have to attack every turn, so you're forced to make decisions on. So what we had was in the games we played before was you just roll a dice to see. I don't wanna offend anyone. I'll just roll the dice and see who I have to attack because the dice said so. But so you're trying not to make enemies, but also you have to make enemies at some point.
Okay, so we're going to break this down now. So that's the format of how to play. And then we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about some of the special cards. We're going to talk about the conspiracy cards. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about draft matters.
I had some draft matters the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what happened?
I farted and followed through.
Bit of draft matter.
Bit of draft matter.
Yeah. Did you catch most of it, or was in a thigh?
Luckily, yeah. I was wearing a leopard print thong.
So. It's always bad if you get like a little bit of a brown tint on the top of your sock. You've had, bad curry the night before.
What?
Gone right down the inside of the thigh. It's made it all the way to the shoe.
Oh, God. Yeah. I thought I was like, you wipe your ass with your sock.
No, well, I don't know. I suppose it depends how long your socks are.
Yeah. I've never run out of toilet paper and been like,
no.
Have you wiped with the core?
This is another great Seven Land Hand idea, isn't it? You could take your socks off, wipe your ass with a sock, flush the socks.
How did your pipe get blocked? I've never done this.
Yeah, it's just the shitty sock in the U-bend.
It's just a shit sock.
The plumber's going, why have you got a shit-coated sock in your... Well, it was bound to get shit on it. It was in the U-bend. I don't know how that happened. They're not mine.
It wasn't me.
They're not
mine. You live here alone?
Size 40, yeah.
Someone broke in and...
obviously went to the toilet.
And wiped it on their sock.
And they left a note saying, I'm sorry for stealing all your stuff, but thanks for letting me use the toilet because I was... You know, any port in a storm.
Clogged the S-bend. Terrible.
Dirty, dirty thieves.
So, draft matters. Disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. This is the format. Draft matters. Then we've got a couple of questions just to discuss. Then we're going to bust a booster.
Oh, my
goodness. This is a completely original idea.
This is a completely original idea.
This has got nothing to do with... We threw around ideas.
I heard someone...
Up other names.
I heard whispers.
Yeah.
In the store, in the area, crack a pack.
Right.
Because it rhymes. I think alliteration's a bit stronger.
Crack a pack.
Bust a booster.
I don't like crack a pack. It's got no ring to it. It's not. Bust a booster.
Bust a booster.
Sounds like a guy, doesn't it? Like you go to the circus. He'd be the guy. He'd be the ringleader. And you go, who's gonna bring out the lions? Oh, Buster Booster's
Buster Booster,
gonna do
clearly.
It. Yeah, I can trust in that guy.
Who's that guy? Who's got his head in the lion's mouth? Oh, that's Buster Booster.
What a guy!
Buster Booster's big top. Buster Booster's big top.
Yeah.
Other words beginning with B.
So that's the general format. And then we're going to do a bit of Aaron Graham premonitions, and text and tweets, and then. We'll get out of here. Special cards. We're talking conspiracy cards. They're the cards which have got the namesake cards, aren't they? The, mm-hmm. the cards that are named after the series, yeah. or the series is named
so
after these
cards. So this is the first time that they've introduced a brand new card type into a supplemental product. So Modern Masters was full of reprints, Commander, and they haven't done a new type in a while since, like, I think Plane Chase, okay. and Arch Enemy. Plane Chase gave you, like, the plane that yeah, you were fighting on had a certain effect. Arch Enemy was, everyone was fighting against one person, so they had their own special deck of tricks.
Yeah.
In every booster pack, you either have a Conspiracy card or a Draft Matters card now instead of a basic land.
Yes, have the Conspiracy cards.
The Conspiracy cards are a like kind of like an emblem from a Planeswalker. There's no way for your opponents to interact with them.
Yeah.
And they have various text on them. They all describe what they do on the Conspiracy.
Yeah.
And there are ones that you start with them in play
yeah.
and they give you some sort of benefit. So there's one called Power Struggle.
So you can have, sorry, you can have as many of these.
You can have as many of these as you want.
Okay.
But you do, they do have a magic back, so they're in the pack. You do have to draft them instead of a draft pack from the thing, and it doesn't add to your deck size. So you still have to build a 40 okay. card deck,
yeah.
but you're going to have some of these conspiracies in your command zone, which is where yeah. emblems and uninteractable things go.
Yeah.
So one of them is called, oh, I've forgotten the name of it, but it says...
Fascinating podcast yeah, oh, you're doing.
Lovely.
Yeah.
One of the conspiracies is called Power Play,
yeah.
and it just says, you are the starting player. If
yeah.
multiple people have Power Play out, randomly decided between the two. But if you first pick this in... or you pick it somewhere in your draft pack, it
yeah.
just means when you go into your multiplayer game, you're going to be the first one to start. And in multiplayer games, there's no downside of being first because you draw your card. So all you
yeah.
get to do is you spend a draft pick to go first in the game. And you just got to hope it's an uncommon one. So the conspiracies still have a rarity in that slot. It's more likely you're going to obviously get a common or an uncommon than a rare. But Power Play, hopefully you'll be the only person at the table that drafts one and you'll be able to be the starting player every round.
Okay.
In addition to those... those conspiracies that start face up, I drafted a rare one today called...
The Backup Plan?
Yeah, the Backup Plan.
Yeah.
And that one says, you start the game with it face up in your command zone. You draw an additional hand of 7 as a game begins, and then before everyone decides their mulligans, you shuffle all but one of your hands into your library.
Oh,
so I drew
two lots of seven
here, seven yeah. there. Looked at both, I was like, well, this one has no land, and I'm going to shuffle that away.
Yeah.
And then you keep that 7, and then in Conspiracy, you also get a free mulligan back to 7 as well.
Okay.
So this is like you have
three
options for your first
wow.
hand. So it just meant I was never mana screwed, always had a good start. But this is a rare one, so it's pretty unlikely that you're going to be able to start off with this. But the fact you just get to look at two completely different hands. I had, in one of the games we played, I had a faster hand and a slower one. I was like,
yeah.
everyone seems to be kind of defensive in this one, so I'll start with the slower hand with more power for the late game.
So with these conspiracy cards, are they you draft them, and then at the beginning of the game, they're all out on the table
yeah,
immediately?
All out.
Well, so you don't even, do you shuffle them? You don't even shuffle them into your deck.
Don't shuffle them in.
So you separate them out.
I had mine in different colored sleeves, and they start the game out like a commander would when you're playing a game of commander,
okay.
like your legendary creature.
Yep.
And you may have some face down ones that are a conspiracy that has the keywords hidden agenda on it.
Yeah.
And hidden agenda cards
yeah.
say you start the game with this conspiracy face down in the command zone and secretly name a card.
Yeah.
You may turn this conspiracy face up at any time and reveal the chosen name. So,
again, admin, how do you? Where's the name?
So you don't change your mind
halfway through the game like a sneaky bastard.
So everyone's been scribbles it on a little post-it note and sticks it inside the sleeve.
Oh, okay.
So that you can't really change it. Or you just post-it note onto the actual card and flip them all down at the start.
Cool.
So everyone knows you have some conspiracies, kind of like a trap card in Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever. You flip it up when they're least expecting it. And some of them, one of them...
I'm looking at one here, Brago's Favor. Spells with a chosen name you cast cost one less to cast.
Yeah,
one colorless.
So I had three of a card that draws me extra cards in my deck today.
Yeah.
And I named, what's it called? Thirst for Knowledge. No, not Thirst for Knowledge, Compulsive Research. I named Compulsive Research with Brago's Favor, which
yeah.
meant I was casting it for 2 mana every turn. And at one point, I cast it for 2 mana, drew into another one, which draws me another 3 cards. So it was just like, you flip it up just as you're about to cast the spell, and it's cheaper for that turn. And I've seen people do it with all sorts of stuff. There's another one that says, that's called Secret Summoning. And it says, whenever a creature with the chosen name enters the battlefield, so just as the spell's resolving, it's just about to come in, you
yeah.
flip up this. It says, when it comes into play, search your library for any other amount of cards with the same name and put them in your hand. So you draft this really early and then draft multiples of every card, and then you've just got like three threes coming out of your ears. Yeah, so they're very interesting, these hidden agendas. And there's some other really crazy ones.
So within the umbrella term of conspiracy cards, there's several subsections of mechanic.
It's pretty much just those two. There's the ones that start off and you have some effect at the start of the game. One of them is you just start the game with a 1/1 defender token.
Okay.
But it's just free. Like, why would you not draft it if there's nothing else in the pack for you? But then there's
that's a free chump blocker, isn't it?
That's yeah, exactly. Go. And there's a sacrifice sub theme in Conspiracy as well. So sacrifice a creature, draw two cards. So it's just a free creature for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the conspiracies just add this like another element of something different, something new to the draft
experience.
Sounds
cool in the way that the planeswalker cards,
conspiracies.
No, you know what we're talking about.
Plane chase. Yeah.
Plane chase. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those cards had an overall effect that affected everyone.
Yeah.
These conspiracy cards have something that
just affects you,
mm-hmm. isn't it? So that, yeah, and I like that kind mm-hmm. of thing. That was kind of cool.
I think my favorite conspiracy is called World Knit, and it's rare. And it says, as long as every single card you drafted, that's all 45 cards, in your command zone and in your deck, your lands can tap for any color of mana.
So you put
everything in your draft board, but you could literally just pick any card and just
play. So how many
it.
Lands are you going to put in your...
So you need to play... Say you draft five conspiracies.
Yeah.
You need to...
So that gets down to 40 cards.
Yeah, so 40
so
cards.
Your ratio...
But that means you're playing a 60-card deck, so you need to be playing about 20, 22 lands. So you're playing a 62-card deck in limited, but your lands tap for any color of mana. Yeah. So I think you need a lot of card draw, a lot of powerful bombs and stuff, but to me, it just seemed hilarious. Like, I think it's going to be very, very funny.
And it's cool because they're tapping for any color. You can play any card. So, yeah.
Yeah, just draft for power. You don't need to care about mana ever. And I've never experienced that in a
certainly
in a
takes
draft
the
before.
Heartache out of having to ditch cards, isn't it? But also, are there any really crappy cards? You know, like, are the fogs in this release? You know, like those cards that you just end up getting passed to on that final pick that you just go, ugh, that one.
There's a few, but like, similar to Modern Masters, when you bust a pack of Modern Masters, it's built from all these famous draft archetypes from the last like 10 years of cards. There's not really that much just chaff in there because it kind of needs to... every card, you need to be able to play your games. Like, you can't have a shit deck. Like, in Theros, if you don't know what you're doing...
Yeah, you can
You can draft some pile and it's just 1/1s for one and 1/1s for two. Yeah. And you can just lose. But this one's full of good stuff in every color, good stuff for every kind of strategy. And the fact that it's a multiplayer game just means you're going to be... you'll be able to participate regardless of how well you know the format. Like, it was my first time seeing some of the cards today in the draft, because the rare conspiracies you're not going to see very often, and some of the mythics I didn't even know were in the set.
Draft Matters.
So in that place of the basic land, there's a conspiracy and there's the Draft Matters. The Draft Matters ones are, for the first time, they affect how you draft the cards. So everyone's opened their pack the first time. And they look at all the cards, and at the back, they see this one, Lawseeker. And Lawseeker says, draft Lawseeker face up, because obviously usually when you draft it face down.
Yeah.
It says, as you draft Lawseeker face up, you may add a booster pack to the draft. So you need to get another booster pack from somewhere unopened and just add it into the pool of cards that's going around.
Right.
And it just like... It does all these things that there's other ones that mess with other people. I drafted one called Whisper Gear Sneak, and it says you may look at any unopened... draft it face up, turn it face down to look at an unopened booster pack. So I got to look at someone's booster before they even opened it to see what they were going to be passing me so I could make my picks accordingly. And there's just all sorts of cool stuff like that, things that you have to note down, how many cards you've drafted as you're drafting it. And yeah, there's just lots of really cool stuff that.
So they don't even get to open it. You have to open.
Yeah,
you
open I've opened someone else's booster and looked at all the stuff before he even did. There's some really cool stuff. I think my favorite one is the one where you add an entire booster pack. To the draft. I had a Theros. I opened this today, foil one that Dave's holding there.
Yeah.
Opened a Theros booster pack in there, and someone's like, where did this booster pack come from? What is it? What is it? Nessie and Aspen stuff in my thing? But it was a shit Theros pack. I've heard of people opening a Japanese into Nyx and just throwing that in the drum.
Oh, so you can do it from any set?
From any set. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of people do conspiracy, obviously, because they're just around. But I had a Theros pack in my bag, so I just thought I'd chuck that one
throw
in.
Throw that in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So by draft matters, are you meaning these cards... referencing that,
yeah, you physically like drafting.
They
them.
Know these cards know that they're in a draft, yeah. So mm-hmm. all of their effects.
So
are
for
related
the first time,
drafting.
It's like you are in a draft, like as opposed to being in some weird world of Theros and gods and monsters and stuff. This is like you're drafting.
This card is for use in a draft game.
Yeah, exactly.
Drafting.
And this has got a little bit of funny feedback from people because they're like, these cards will be completely useless after you draft them.
Yeah.
But what you can do is add them to cubes,
yeah,
and add them to other places where you're going to be making your own draft sets, and they'll be a welcome addition to any of those because it just there's very interesting things that can go on with some of these, like information wise. There's one that's very simple. Oh, also, don't forget these all tacked onto creatures, which are all artifact creatures. These draft matters cards,
yeah,
and so they can be played in any deck, and they're always cards that are actually pretty decent. So, Cogwork Spy is a artifact creature bird construct. It's a 2/1 with flying for 3, but it says reveal it as you draft it. You look at the next card drafted from this pack. So the next person, yeah. So you put it face up. Say I'm drafting Cogwork Spy. I'm going to see what you're going to take out of this pack.
So that's important if it's first pack, because then you know third pack what.
Yeah, exactly. And I've played 2/1s with flying for 3 mana in other formats as well. So
I suppose it's probably going to have more bearing on if it's the first pack, mm-hmm. then you get to see the guy to your left.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll see what color he's taking.
Yeah.
And then for pack 2, you'll see what color he's taking. You might shy away from it.
My guy, I'm going to get a drought of red because that's what that guy's going for. And
I think that I think the first one that got spoiled was Cogwork Librarian.
Yeah.
Who says you draft it face up. As you draft a card, you can draft an additional card from that pack. Have you ever opened one of those boosters where you're just like, I need two of these cards, I need 2 of these cards? So what you do is you take your pick, and then you take your second pick, but replace it with the Cogwork Librarian that you drafted from the pack before. So it just means that you're like, oh, I don't really want anything in particular out of this pack. Maybe there'll be one with 2 cards in it later.
That card goes back into the
circulation. Yeah, so someone else has the opportunity to do it later. But I did it today with... I had Cogwork Librarian from a pack, got past another pack with Cogwork Librarian in it, replaced it with itself, and just got another card from that pack just to, like, to get more information about what was going to be passed to me.
Okay.
So that was a bit of fun, and it just lets you do all those kind of cheaty things you always want to do where you're like, you open a pack and you're like, I want every card in this pack. There's another one called Agent of Acquisitions, which is a 2/1 artifact creature for 2, but it says you draft it face up. Instead of drafting a card from a booster pack, draft all the cards in that pack instead. So you don't get any more picks from other packs that round, but you just get, you're like, oh, this is the one that I want. So
this theme of cards are just there to, just to make the format go crazy, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it sort of seems like it turns the draft format on its head a little bit. And,
yeah, you know, it does. And it's really interesting. It's something everyone's like, oh, yeah, cool. We're gonna draft Theros. We're going to draft Innistrad. We're going to draft whatever. But the actual draft portion of it is always the same.
Yeah.
It's never really been messed with.
I know. It seems like it could be like really more convoluted, isn't it? It has a whole other level of, like you're saying, like drafting 2 Cogwork Librarians after each other.
Yeah.
It's just messing with, or just getting ways of getting more information about what's happening out there.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminds me a lot of the deck building games that come in like board game boxes, like Dominion or DC deck building game.
Hmm.
And it's just, they're deck building games, but when you are taking cards, it may affect some other thing that you do that turn. And the card that does a lot is Ascension. In Ascension, there's cards that you can buy or kill in the center row, but as you kill them, it gets replaced with another card that you may also be able to use that turn. So it reminds me... It makes me think that Magic is knowing that these other things are out there and going, look, you can have a fun multiplayer experience, all self-contained, and you don't have to be buying regular booster packs.
I certainly like that idea that you know, like when you're drafting, say, if you're just drafting Theros block, you've got, as you're doing the drafting, you've got your usual skills of just trying to identify the next best card for what you're drafting.
Yeah.
You can read signals, but... Well, your strategies are reasonably limited, aren't they? This adds a whole level of strategy and more game playing to the drafting portion of the night.
Do you think one day they could put it in a regular Magic set?
I don't know. I was thinking about that before. So would you just keep conspiracy packs around and just when, you know, like you get the three packs or something and one of them is just a dud, you go, hey, how about we just get rid of that and throw a conspiracy pack in there and we'll just draft that? Or you just do it for fun, you know? You just go, all right, let's just grab two Theros packs and throw a conspiracy pack in there.
Yeah.
Like, could you do that?
You can do that in casual play. You can't do it for tournaments because it's a lot easier to cheat and that sort of thing with your pool, and there's a lot of messing around with it. But I think what I've heard about people doing is conspiracy unhinged, or conspiracy conspiracy, or like just one conspiracy in the regular draft just to spice it up a bit.
Do you think it's a more an unhinged sort of set as opposed to a
not necessarily
elevation of the drafting?
The problem is that the cards are all designed for multiplayer games, so if you're trying to make it a little bit more competitive by putting in like a expert level set, which is like a Theros or a core set release, the games are going to be a little bit warped towards, like, there's stuff that's like each opponent loses two life, and it's not as good because you've only got one opponent when you're playing one-on-one.
Oh,
so
of course, yeah.
It's very difficult for it to be put into a competitive thing. So doing it with more silly stuff like unhinged, really? Unglued, more designed for the multiplayer stuff.
Okay, just so for a little bit of conspiracy free-for-all, are there any draft archetypes?
Yeah, so... like I said, it's not too competitive, but there are going to be archetypes always present in a draft thing because they want to be able to feed each of the 10 color pairings some amount of stuff. So the draft archetypes that I've seen so far, there's one that's built around black-white is, I think, the most interesting one.
Yeah.
There's also one more mechanic that we didn't talk about called Will of the Council, which is beginning with you... Each player may vote for X or Y.
Yeah.
If X gets the most votes, something happens. If Y gets the most votes or is tied for the most votes, this other thing happens.
Right.
And one of the ones is called Tyrant's Will, and it's one in a black for a sorcery. And it says each player may vote for death or torture, and if more people vote for death, each opponent has to sacrifice a creature, and if more people vote for torture, each player loses 4 life.
Okay.
And so there's a few things that influence voting now for the first time. So they're always, again...
Stern looks across the table. Money.
A little gun pointed at their balls under
firearms,
the table.
Firearms, all this doesn't.
But there's one called Brago's Representative, which is 2 and a white for a 1/4. And it says, when you're voting, you get an additional vote.
Ah.
Which doesn't make any sense outside of the
context
of this.
That's a conspiracy card.
That is a conspiracy card, yeah.
Right.
So it's just kind of like you can build your deck around these weird votes and like rigging it. Something I didn't mention was conspiracy is actually set on this plane called Fiora, which they invented for the Magic comic books. There was a character called Dak Faden, who's one planeswalker at Mythic in Conspiracy.
My Dak's have been Faden ever since I had Draft Matter.
Dak Faden. So apparently he's the greatest thief in the multiverse. He's originally from Fiora, where there's this ghost king called Brago, and there's this like council of people. And all the things in Conspiracy are kind of built around it being this Machiavellian politics and this sort of thing that's all going on in this plane of Fiora where all the people live, and there's, you know, a council and a king and all this intrigue.
Toity-toity business going on.
A bit of Game of Thrones-esque intrigue. Yeah. You have funny things like a human advisor. It says, while voting, you get an additional vote. There's a black card that says, it's a 2/1 for 2, and it says... After voting is finished, everyone that didn't vote for the thing that you voted for loses 2 life.
So this is the archetype you're talking about, the black-white thing. It's all about the voting
so black, angle. White, yeah, black-white's about the voting thing. And there's a few really good cards that are built around the voting, the will of the council mechanic.
Yeah.
One of them, which is apparently going to see some legacy play, because everyone votes for a non-land permanent you don't control, and then you exile everything that has the highest votes or is tied for the most votes. But it just means they can never get anything that you do.
Mm.
And they have to vote for something the same that you voted for, or multiple things are going to go. And so there's a lot of interesting stuff to go along with that.
So, I mean, and not having looked at the full set, for that type of archetype, there's plenty of cards that will support that. So if you first pack, you see it, Windmill Slam, right, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then you're fairly confident you're going to see a good range of cards.
Yeah, I played blue-black today, and blue and black generally very controlling colors, very good at controlling the game. And controlling the game in this one just means you're kind of making their voting decisions and stuff for them. So they have to sacrifice a creature, and you can bounce a thing back to their hand. Mm. Or there's a few things that are really can influence that, even from when you're drafting it. I drafted that with that plan in mind to have the most interaction with my opponents. Yeah.
And is that, you know, as far as being under the radar or over the radar in a multiplayer game, it may force some people to vote? I suppose it keeps you off the radar, does it, a little bit?
Yeah, kind of, because you're
saying, hey, look, the will of the council, bad for you. Yeah. It's too bad. So you don't really give a shit. As long as nothing bad happens to yourself, as long as it's happening to other people, you're
and
all right,
aren't you? A lot of them are geared towards it being each opponent. So they're kind of choosing how they're going to get destroyed in some way. It doesn't generally affect you. So that was each opponent sacrifices a creature, so they have to choose between the three of them. They're like, I don't want to do either of these things.
Oh, so you wouldn't like have to sacrifice a creature or lose 4 life, but they definitely would.
So either way, it's good for you. You're still kind of painting a little target on yourself.
Yeah, because that's every multiplayer game that I've ever played. It seemed like there was that haggling kind of aspect to it. You'd sit around the table and someone would do something, just something or nothing. It could have been nothing to do with the game. It could just be they farted or something like that.
Yeah.
You're like, right, let's kill this guy. It's just anything, you know?
Yeah.
So you want to sort of just remain kind of impish, don't you? And sort of sneak your way through the game.
That's the thing. It's got that very commander dynamic. I played the 6-player game of Commander once. 100-card decks. Every card's different. Everyone's got their own shit going on.
What year did that start?
So it started in 2002. Yeah. We were playing until late 2009 when someone farted and I attacked them with all of my creatures.
You called up Domino's and they said, not again. We're not coming out there again. No.
Never. We got many free pizzas for that 7-year game.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so obese now.
Yeah. We're the best looking podcast on the web.
Best looking and sized podcast on the whole internet.
Yeah. Okay, so if we're going to open, we're going to bust the booster in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Not cracker pack.
Not cracker pack.
No, we're going to bust the booster. Mm-hmm. What cards are we going to just be creaming ourselves over? What are we looking for?
So there are a lot of commander and legacy staples.
I want to pay off the mortgage. So I want to open that pack.
This is one of the best ways to do it.
All
definitely.
Right. Are you listening? Tell me how. Tell me how, Aaron.
We're looking for foils. We're looking for foils of cards that have never been printed in foil before, sometimes with different artwork. So we're looking at Swords to Plowshares.
Swords to Plowshares.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit double entendre-ish to me.
It's a Bible reference, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's from the...
Bible's a dirty, dirty book. we love all our Christian friends.
Yeah,
welcome aboard.
Each
and every one of you.
Swords to Plowshares is exile target creature for 1 mana. Its controller gains life equal to its toughness.
We want to foil one of those.
Yeah, we want to foil one of them.
Consider that done. Right,
the only foils that have been printed of that one before are like Judge foils and Friday Night Magic ones. So they're very difficult to get hold of.
Wow.
Stifle, which is a rare from this set, reprinted for the first time here.
Yeah.
With brand new artwork, also the first time you can get it in foil. Foils are worth about $75 to $90.
Wow. Yeah. So how many, just as we're going, sorry to distract you off this, but what's the percentage of reprints versus new cards? Do you know?
I think it's about 30% new cards and the rest of reprints. A lot of the commons and uncommons you're going to be opening in the packs are old. Designed like multiplayer ones. There's cards like Typhoid Rats from Innistrad. There's Vampire Hex Mage from Zendikar, Zombie Goliaths, like a vanilla creature from the core set. So we've got stuff from all over. There are a few returning mechanics. Morbid was one from the Innistrad block. There's also Multi-Kicker from World Wake. There's just lots of stuff that tends to good multiplayer games, things to pump your mana into, and just lots of stuff that affects all of your opponents rather than just one opponent.
Yeah, of course. So we're looking for Swords to Plowshares.
Mm-hmm.
Stifle.
Exploration. Which is just a green enchantment that says you can play two additional lands every turn.
Oh, that's nice.
What the hell? Yeah.
two additional lands.
Brand new artwork on that one. Also the first time it's been available in foil.
Yeah.
And also Misdirection.
Yeah.
And Route, which...
Misdirection
all
and
have
Route.
Brand new artwork. Maybe the first time they've all been in foil. And brand new artwork. And you can only get them in Conspiracy as well.
Yeah. And the decent cards to play with.
Yeah, decent cards to play with. Ones that aren't reprints, which are brand new, but happen to be good in Legacy, are Dak Faden, which is the blue-red Planeswalker for 3 mana. That's worth about $50 on Star City at the moment. And Council's Judgment, which is the one I was talking about, where everyone votes for a permanent you don't control and then it gets exiled. It answers a lot of things that didn't have answers to in Legacy, like True Name Nemesis and stuff before. So they're printing answers to things that they've made errors with in the last year.
Which is so good. Are any of these cards going to be useful in Standard? You'd be able to be used in Standard?
Yeah, that's something I should have mentioned near the start. It's not a Standard legal set. So it's the one that they're doing in June.
It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun. Yeah. Similar to Modern Masters. It's for a very specific audience. This one is for the multiplayer draft experience.
Crazy bastards.
Yeah, and a few of them are for Legacy. But mostly for casual
Some play. Of the things we've heard from those guys. Tell you.
So not Standard Lego. I've had that from a few people tonight.
So we've got a good grab of cards there that we're looking for. What are the worst cards? What are we going to be deeply, deeply, deeply upset about?
Because we're not drafting it, we're going to be very upset about the things that draft matters, and we're not drafting it. We're just busting it back open. Like World Knit, where it's like you have to have every card in your draft pool, and then your lands have for any color. It doesn't help us in any way because we're looking at the pack.
Yeah. But we'll be able to talk about it and regale the benefits of that card.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah. It'll come out of the seven land hand budget.
Good for cubes and stuff, but otherwise there's not really much reason to keep hold of stuff like backup plan, world knit, that sort of thing.
Mm. Okay, and the worst cards that we actually... if we were going to actually draft a conspiracy,
yeah.
What are some of the ones to avoid as we're playing?
There's ones like... all the vanilla creatures, they've kind of got to put creatures in these sets to make sure that you have creatures to cast up and down the curve. So there's like a 4/3 for 5 with no abilities. You've got classic 2/2s for 2.
But if you've got a conspiracy card that gives you there's a card, isn't it, that gives you like +1/+1 to a named card.
Yeah.
Now, there's some shitty cards that you're going to see tons of.
Exactly. So
grab 4 of them, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Like you can prioritize drafting shitty cards because these conspiracies can affect it like in a wider scale, whereas usually if you draft some crappy 1/2 for 1 Triton Shore Thief from Theros, you're never gonna look at it again. You'll literally throw it away and never see it again.
You drop it on the floor as you walk over the table to where you're gonna build your deck.
But a lot of the things that aren't vanilla creatures or just draft matters things are all playable in things. So like it's a very good set for casual
balanced.
Play.
Very balanced. Yeah. Okay. So how would you rate it overall?
It was good. I've played a few games, watched a few drafts and actions, sanctioned a few, watched over people's shoulders as they're playing the big multiplayer games, and it just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're not through the motions of drafting Heroic over and over again because you're focusing on these big four-player multiplayer games. The draft is fun in itself, and it takes like 40 minutes instead
like
of like 20
minutes.
It sounds
like a game in itself.
It is. And so it's very unique, and I think it's going to be really popular.
So was that the time difference you said that the drafting takes?
Yeah, the drafting just takes a bit longer because everyone has to draft about the same time because it can affect
the
cards that you get passed and are being passed.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of this value in the game outside of a game, and really How we've been running it in the store is even people aren't really playing to win. They're just playing to experience it.
Yeah, fun.
As opposed to just trying to crush people with the best draft deck that you can get. So yeah. I think it's got a lot of appeal for people. Like a guy just came in and bought like two cases, which is six boxes of Conspiracy.
Yeah.
Just because he's like, I've never seen anything like this before. My friends who don't even play Magic that much just want to do this because it's just
it
fun.
Feels like a game in itself. Yeah, exactly. It's like another sort of sort of game. Yeah, oh, that's cool. I think it's like a bit more of a shared experience as well. Magic is very just between two people, and you do something awesome or something quirky happens.
Yep.
If you're just watching on, then that's okay. Yeah. But if you're involved in it,
completely.
So this just allows more people to be involved in just that crazy thing that happens, even if it wasn't you or it didn't happen to you.
Yeah.
It's you were there and you were involved because you were in the game. That's, it's kind of fun.
It's in the same vein as Plane Chase, Arch Enemy, Commander. It's just like you're going to be having experiences, weird things that happen in games that have never happened before, and just unique things that are all fueled by this multiplayer matters thing. So you're like, oh, I'm going to be attacking you this turn, but don't worry, next turn he's going to have the highest life, so I do this, and then someone switches life totals with you and then flips up their Conspiracy and, you know, vomits a bunch of tokens out and stuff. So it's just like unique experiences, and I like that they're doing this kind of stuff and not just pushing like competitive standard all the time, modern, legacy.
So it sounds like because of the interaction of so many different mechanics, there's like a ton of replay ability in this, right?
Yeah, there is. I can imagine that a lot of cubes, like drafts, sets that you have for yourself are going to involve a lot of these cards.
Get
and
inherit.
There's really good reprints for it as well. And
so how long is Conspiracy going to even print for?
Conspiracy doesn't have it's not a limited print run.
Okay, so it's not like Modern Masters where it was just like, here you are,
Modern
that's
Masters,
it, we're done.
They knew was going to affect the prices in some way. All the commons and uncommons in Modern Masters tanked in value, apart from a very small selection of them.
Yeah.
Rares went up because they did what they intended and increased the popularity of the modern format. But with this, there's no real reason to ever stop printing it. We're going to be seeing this for
a long time. With the Plane Chase stuff, you know. Like I was always, when I first started playing, I was like, oh, I want to get that. When's that coming out again? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, that's done. That's finished. We're done that now.
What they've been realizing nowadays is that they can sell these supplemental products because they don't ever rotate out of standard.
Yeah.
So people still want to be buying. People still ask me about Plane Chase now, and they start printing it three years ago.
You know? I don't have it.
Yeah, exactly. But the prices are going through the roof, and they're like, we can't make it anymore because we stopped printing it back then. But even with Commander, those Commander decks that were really popular, $50, $60, $70 for some of them because they've got these legacy cards and good Commander decks in them. They're still printing them. They are still available to buy. So they're going to be doing that with anything that's not Modern Masters in the future.
Okay. So just to finish off on the Q&A section, it just struck me that there's a lot of combos to be done and dealt out in this. Any key combos that you've seen happen or that you've used and you've, apart from the black white stuff that you've thought?
Yeah, there's a lot of Morbid in the set.
How does that work?
So Morbid is spells or creatures that trigger something when a creature has died this turn.
Yeah.
And then there's also the sub theme of sacrificing
stuff. It's like the
stuff.
Old tragic slip.
Yeah.
That comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the games I played earlier, there's Magus of the Mirror, which means you can exchange, it's a creature that you can sacrifice it to exchange life totals with someone in your upkeep. And it triggered Morbid on like three of the things that I wanted to cast that turn. So I was like, switch life totals with you. I'm on 18, you're on 6 now. My Brimstone Volley hits you for 5. I'll Tragic Slip this thing over here. Attack you for like 3
Tragic
or 4
Tragic Slip's
damage.
In the release.
Tragic Slip's in it.
Oh,
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah. In black. And there's just some insane, there's like a weird Defender sub theme. You can make Defender tokens.
Okay.
And there's a card from Rise of the Eldrazi, which deals damage to a player equal to the number of Defenders you control. And a guy just had 3 of them out and we're just like, well, I've got all this stuff that buffs, kills attacking creatures, and he's just like tapping them to deal damage to us and
so
stuff.
So you can just build this huge bomb shelter and hide in it, whilst everyone else dukes it out.
Yeah,
out
and it's a 2/4. You can like defend yourself with a 2/4 until they die. But some of the cards in here are just crazy, and they combo really well together. It's difficult to see it all, but I'm sure in the next few weeks we'll have some stories as well.
Well, this is a section I've been looking forward to, Aaron.
Oh, me too.
Why did you get two packs?
Oh, just in case one goes wrong.
One goes wrong. Well, I like this. It's got like, is this a, like a Flying Nun Sound of Music conspiracy packet?
That's a How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria.
Yeah. Have you seen her shoulder? They always got to try and sneak in a spooky face. I see her in a shoulder. There's a spooky face.
Oh, so many sneaky faces.
Oh, spooky.
This is, you can't see her other shoulder, but this card is Magister of Worth, which is a 4/4 flying for 4 white black. Yeah. When it comes into play, Will of the Council. Yeah. Everyone votes for Grace or Condemnation.
Is that her name, Grace?
Grace, yeah. Ooh. Grace, comma, the Magister of Worth.
Okay.
And Grace or Condemnation. And then if more people vote for Grace, everyone returns a creature card from their graveyard to the battlefield.
Oh, to the battlefield.
Condemnation, destroy all creatures apart from this creature. It's just like, so it's game warping regardless of what people vote for. Yeah,
it's like saying to the kids, would you like to go out for an ice cream? Or kill grandma in a bed where she lies dying slowly. Let's just knife her. What would you like to do, kids?
Or
Grace?
Or that one?
What flavor ice cream is it?
chocolate. Not really.
Grandma?
What have you got? I don't
know. All right. So we're gonna open on. We'll open on with the Crazy Nunna or the Fire Breathing Dragon.
The Fire Breathing Dragon. No, it's upsetting me.
We've talked about the nun now.
Yeah.
Is she a nun?
She's an angel, I think.
So it is sealed. I guarantee it is sealed. We have not rigged the deck.
Are we allowed to talk about how it smells, or is that part of the other one?
The other one, I don't know. I don't think I've ever smelt one.
Oh, you don't like the... Oh, when you crack a pack, it's kind of got that weird plasticky cardboard smell.
I've got a terrible sense of smell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I couldn't... Oh, no, I can smell
it. Yeah, it's kind of fresh.
But do you have to really stick your face in there?
You do, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I always open my boosters at arm's length. Yeah. It's like, I like to open them right out there. Yeah. Just so that I'm sure, you know, I can see, everyone can see.
I was thinking about this on Unlimited Resources. They say that new pack smell. Yeah. And I just want to go to the wizard's place where they print all the cards. And after I steal a bunch of Tarmogoyfs, I just fart in some of the booster packs and seal it really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And then hopefully Marshall gets it.
It's Marshall.
Oh, what the fuck?
And they were,
in your face, Marshall! From Australia.
Now, does it have an advert? Lumberland used to just slide the advert.
Does have
back.
An ad card in the back.
Ooh, spirit.
Can be a spirit token.
It's a spirit token. Jeff Simpson. That's a lovely.
One of the things that we're... that's an awesome... That's my favorite spirit token that they've made,
that's
actually.
Very cool.
Some of the Lingering Souls tokens look like shit.
No, I do.
And I was playing with them for so long. I was playing with Lingering Souls for 2 years.
Yeah. That's awesome, isn't it? Is that spirit coming out of a statue or something?
Yeah,
or
I think it is. It's coming out of the dead guy that they put in the statue.
Wow, that's very D&D. That's the sort of thing... You know, you're just walking in a tomb and then all of a sudden you're alone. You're about to take all the treasure all of a sudden. There's about six spirits around hacking you to pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You swipe at them with your sword, but you miss because they're made of wisps.
All right, let's break it down. We've got, what, we've got 15 cards?
15 cards.
15 cards. Here we go. We're kicking off with Courier Hawk.
Courier Hawk is
one in a white.
Ultra terrible.
He's a creature. Give him his chance. Haven't read the card yet. He's got swollen green eyes.
Can I put this in as my vote for worst card in the set?
Worst card in the set? Yeah. All right. Let's see how he pans out. He's one in a white for a 1/2.
Oh,
I imagine
Stoneforge Mystic.
He's going to have flying, I imagine, and he does. He's got flying and vigilance.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
So creature, he's a bird. That's it. There's a whole
when
bunch
it comes
of,
into play. Can I search my library for an equipment?
There's a whole bunch of flavor text which you might want to keep an eye on. No
the
flavor text today.
I've started using Hawks as no. I'm not going to read it.
Don't worry about that.
Really lame card. Don't play this in your deck.
Don't ever play it. The roofs of the houses are green, and that's about it. There's a lot of green.
Yeah,
is that a hawk?
His eyes are green.
Or he's been blindfolded by some horrible hawk
master.
By
the people that live in the green house.
They've gone, here, we'll put these green tennis balls over your eyes.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Now go and fly. See how far you get.
Have you heard about that that natural psychotrope thing where you put... you cut a ping pong ball in half,
right.
Put it over your eyes.
This sounds terrible.
Put really loud static, like white noise up, right. And shine a red light on the ping pong balls. And apparently your brain just starts like you actually start hallucinating.
Is it like waterboarding yourself or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Right, I think that's what's happening to this hawk.
Disclaimer coming up. We did a little ding above this comment that Aaron has made. All right, so Courier Hawk. I'm not taking that one home. I'm tossing that to one
Throw
side.
Throw it away.
Okay, listeners, we're not bothered about Courier Hawk. Brainstorm.
Brainstorm.
Brainstorm
here, that,
is
another one.
One blue. Let's go through the card. Yeah. Let's build the excitement and then tear it down. Brainstorm. It's just one blue. It's an instant. Draw three cards, then put two cards from your hand on top of your library in any order. So it's I forgot what it's called now.
The Jace ability?
Oh, yeah, forget about it. Well, just, you tell me what it is. What is it? Brainstorm. How do we feel about Brainstorm?
Brainstorm, it's one of the best cards in Legacy and Vintage because it just allows you so much card draw. There's lots of different ways to shuffle your library so you can just get rid of those cards you don't need. So it's practically draw three in the right circumstances. But in Conspiracy, in a similar way to how Brainstorm wouldn't be great in Standard, because all it's really doing is rearranging the top of your library.
Yeah.
It's... In Conspiracy, it's okay. There's not a heap of ways to shuffle your library, but the card filter and selection is good, and it's going to help you hit your early land drops.
So that's a reprint
Reprint from Mercadian Mask. It's been around for a while, but hasn't been reprinted with this artwork.
Yeah,
you can get foils of it now for one of the first times as well.
Oh, okay. So that's a keeper?
That's a keeper, yeah.
That's a keeper. All right, I'll put that on the pot. Oh, dear. Here we've got another... another bird. Oh, my goodness.
Goddamn birds.
Apex Hawks.
Oh, yeah. This is one from World Wake when they introduced the multi-kicker mechanic.
Right. It's a two and a white for a 2/2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a creature. It's a bird. It's got multi-kicker, which I'll... for one and a white. And what does multi-kicker do, Aaron?
So multi-kicker... there's a mechanic called kicker, which says you can just pay that cost in addition to the rest. Then you get some bonus. Multi-kicker says... You can pay this kicker cost as many times as you want when you're casting it. In this case, it's one and a white.
Yeah.
And it enters with a +1/+1 counter for each time it was kicked.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you can really ramp it if it comes late in the game.
You'll notice this is very similar to Strive.
I haven't seen Strive yet. So, I'm hoping to get to that.
Oh, no, the mechanic from Journey into Next.
Oh, sorry, Strive. Yeah. I thought
so
we were
you
for
can
that.
Pay an extra cost to target...
Stifle, wasn't it? That's what we're looking for.
You can pay an extra cost to target more things in Journey into Next.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To trigger Heroic. It's technically just multi-kicker, but they put a new word.
Totally different mechanic.
No,
I might have...
Let's call it Strive.
Oh, what's that? Wizards are here.
Oh, hello.
Wizards,
how you doing? We need to do what?
Don't mention that multi-kicker and Strive are the same things, please. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Strive's a great mechanic. Multi-kicker is very different and also great.
Yeah.
Hello.
Apex Hawks also has flying, of course, because it's a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dragging looks like a rat or something through the air.
Oh, yeah.
With his mates. And he's got feathers that look like horns.
Clever. The horns at the front, trick. He's just giving you a peace thing while he goes past, because we took his picture to put on the magic card. Yeah. He's just giving you a V for victory there.
Oh, yeah, he is, isn't he? He's going, peace, brother. that's not what the mouse is thinking.
The mouse is thinking, like, fuck me.
Fuck. I'm dinner. He's going, no, nothing's happening here. Peace, brother. I'm just flying back from the nest.
What's going on, man?
Hey. All right, Apex Hawks. We're keeping that one?
It's pretty decent. I like flyers. Okay.
Here's a familiar card. Brimstone Volley, two and a red, instant. Brimstone Volley deals 3 damage to target creature or player. With Morbid, Brimstone Volley deals 5 damage to that creature or player instead if a creature died this turn.
Again, really good with the sacrifice outlets in the set.
Yeah.
You're going to be dealing 5 damage to someone's face. Don't forget, 20 life, not 40 in Commander or anything. So
5's a lot.
5 is a quarter of someone's life total. And all it takes is a creature to die. Just run your little 1/1 into their 1/2 or whatever.
This turn. Oh, right, yeah. So in the second main phase. Oh, no, it's an instant, though, isn't
instant,
it?
Yeah. So you can do it anytime. They kill one of your things, you're like, I'll deal 5 damage to your face. Bitch.
Oh, all right. That's a good comeback. All right, so we're keeping that one. That one's all right. Ooh, hello. Hello, Mr. Weird Arm. Flowstone Blade.
Flowstone Blade.
For one, Mr. Alan Williams has got his work cut out painting that one. Jesus, look at this guy. Imagine walking, it's in the woods. Imagine taking your girlfriend out for a walk.
Okay.
Let's go walk through the woods. It's romantic.
Yeah.
And you're walking through the woods.
I'm cold.
There's somebody coming. Oh, I know. Just another walker. And it's Flowstone Blade. And you're like, fuck me. You'd just give up, wouldn't you?
It's a man afflicted with a Flowstone Blade. Why would you give that to one of your friends?
It doesn't look comfortable. Is that a clothing or is that like a horned arm?
I think his hand is magma.
Yeah.
And I was thinking he's... probably not very good at putting his... He's just like, let me put my arm around a lady in the movies, just melt through her chair and kill her.
He couldn't tie his shoes.
Oh.
I've got a feeling Alan Williams, as an artist, isn't very good at drawing hands, because you can't see the other hand.
And the hand's in the shadow behind him, and he's just like, oh, what do you want for this hand? Oh, flowstone.
Yeah, just that wizard said, oh, we just want him, you know, holding this flowstone blade. And he's gone, what, in his hand with fingers and thumbs and, oh, shit.
Yeah, is that difficult for you?
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm an artist, so creative of liberties and
I've
license.
Drawn hands many times.
All right. Look, here's what I've done. And they've just gone, Jesus. What is wrong with this guy's mind?
You were late, Alan, but we're going to just have to submit it. Next time, please don't give us a shitty looking arm.
It's amazing. All right, so we've got Flowstone Blade. It's one red. It's an enchantment. It's an aura. Enchant creature. For one red, enchanted creature gets +1/-1 until end of turn.
Yeah, so what you want to do is chuck it on one of your guys, pump red mana into it to give it more attack, or you can throw it on one of their guys and make it bigger or smaller at will. And
but don't pump it too much.
Don't pump it too much or it'll die.
Die, yeah.
Unless you want it to die. One of the awesome things about this, actually, is you can put it on one of your opponent's creatures, be like, attack this guy and I'll pump it because you have control of the red mana.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, cool, I'll deal them 7 damage. And then after they deal the damage, you pay another red and the creature just dies, like, falls down.
Ooh, bastardly. All right.
Do we put
that on the keeper or get rid of a pile?
It's still not great.
It's still not great?
Nah.
Yeah, it's
it takes
scary.
A lot for it to go right.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one I think I recognize. Quag Vampires for a swamp. Creature, it's a vampire rogue. It's a 1-1. Well, we love our 1-1s, don't we?
1-1's for 1.
1-1's for 1. It's got multi-kicker, so you can boost it for 1 and a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
It's got swamp walk, so you're reliant on other people having a black, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Quag Vampires enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each time it was kicked. No longer just a 1-1.
Yeah, 2-2 swamp walk. Maybe a 3-3 swamp walk for 5. Yeah. Not decent. It curves up.
Yeah.
And that, like, on turn 7 you can get a 4-4 swamp walk. But it's just like, it's just filling a spot somewhere in your curve. You're going to play it for 1, maybe get in that 6-7 points of damage with your swamp walk guy.
Yeah.
Or just play a 3-3 later to block with. It's not fantastic.
You're never going to catch the curve, are you, with that though?
No, never.
Yeah.
You're playing 9 for a 5-5. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's terrible. All right, so
Apex Hawk's much better because it's just the multi-kicker one we looked at. Just because it's got flying, it's going to deal him a bunch of damage wherever you cast it. Whereas Swamp Walk is not really going to hit him a lot of the time.
Yeah. All right, Quag Vampires. And it's a rubbish pitcher as well. Jason Felix. Looks like...
We're going to do an art episode where we just talk about the good and bad arts on cards.
It looks like he did it in Corolla. So, yeah, anyway, all right, that's gone. Quag Vampires, goodbye. All right, Selvala's Enforcer. 3 and a green for a 2-2. That sounds like rubbish.
Yep.
What does the text say? He's a creature, he's an elf warrior, and he's got a nose that goes all the way up to the back of his head. Oh, this is parlay card. We didn't really talk about parlay cards.
We didn't talk about parlay.
So, I'll read the text and put it in a context.
Do it.
Parlay. When Silvala's Enforcer enters the battlefield, each player reveals the top card of his or her library. For each non-land card revealed this way, put a +1/+1 counter on Silvala's Enforcer. Then each player draws a card.
Yeah. So parlay was the one mechanic we didn't talk about, which is it's always framed like this. When this enters the battlefield or when you cast this, each player reveals the top card of their library. Always that way.
Yeah.
For every non-land card revealed this way, do a thing. Then everyone draws the card that they revealed. And this is just a way to make sure that cards keep flowing. No one gets really left behind. No one's too far ahead. But the person that casts the card gets the most benefit, but everyone gets to draw a card when you cast these. So, these are pretty good ones to pick up. I got destroyed by Selvala's Charge, which is the same thing on a sorcery, but for every non-land card revealed, that way you get a 3-3 elephant. So
it's one of those cards.
Got like 4. It was crazy.
You want this to come out when the other 3 players are still there, aren't you? Because for each, it just increases your chances of getting a non-land card and making this guy tougher.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of good ways to manipulate your opponent's library or your library in conspiracy. Yeah. So it's just kind of random. Most of the time, it's going to be a 4-4 for 4. I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Keeping that one.
4-4, 4-4 is fine. Yeah.
4-4 is fine. But it's not really always a 4-4, is it? Could it quite easily be a 2-2?
It could be a 2-2 if they all reveal a land.
Yeah. Or you're down to the last 2 and you play it, and there's only one person to overturn the card. Right?
Oh yeah, so it's really bad
later on.
Later.
Shitty, isn't it?
Put it in the shit pile.
Let's put it in the shit pile. Rap in Vigor. This, my goodness, John Donahue. He's come up with some sort of Matrix bubble human
harvesting them for their energies.
Yeah. That's it. Wrap in Vigor for one and a green. It's an instant. Regenerate each creature you control.
Oh, I saw this one on Golgari Charm. But Golgari Charm had two other things that you could do with it.
Yeah, for the same price.
This ain't great. Regenerate each creature you control is really good against board wipes, stuff that's going to destroy all your creatures at once. For this to be really good, you need to be attacking a bunch of people. You need to be attacking into a bunch of their stuff. Their stuff needs to be killing your stuff, and you need to be killing theirs. Then you go, oh, I'm going to regenerate them. And your board stays there, and theirs doesn't. But that doesn't... When's that? This doesn't happen all the time.
So yeah.
Not fantastic.
All right, we'll put that on the no-go fart pile. We're still in the commons, by the way. Core Chant. Core, K-O-R.
Core Chant.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got... They're sitting around an icy tornado lightning... campfire
thing, yeah.
Singing songs, telling tales,
chanting.
I think they look very Nordic. There's a Nordic guy sitting in the foreground, eyeing off his Nordic princess girlfriend to the left, and in the background is his dad going, "Not on my watch, sunshine." Core Chant, two and a white. It's an instant. All damage that would be dealt this turn to target creature you control by a source of your choice is dealt to another target creature instead. Commas, Wizards of the Coast, please.
All damage that would be dealt to the
All damage that would be dealt this turn to target creature you control by a source of your choice is dealt to another target creature instead. Redirect.
Yeah, so you're going to be... So they're hitting you with Brimstone Volley.
Yeah.
So you're going to be taking three damage. So you go...
To a creature.
So they're going to kill your creature. Can't be to you.
Yeah. You can redirect it. Yeah.
And you choose the source of the damage as Brimstone Volley and you return it to a different target creature. So you can't target the player with the damage.
So this it was going to happen to you, but it now happens to someone else.
Yeah. Again, this is one of those multiplayer, politicky kind of ones. You're like, I'm going to redirect it to... Usually you just direct it back to the thing that is dealing the damage. But in this one, you can, like, if you attack me with your thing, then he won't be able to block, but I'll just revert the damage to one of his big creatures or something. It's like, it's okay. It's like really situational again.
I know. It sort of reeks of fog to me in some ways.
Smells like fog.
Smells like fog. Yeah. Oh, hello. We've got one for the primary school kids drew here. Ron Spears. This will be the last card you ever paint. Siphon Soul. Check this one out, the one with the lady
slapping a dude on it.
Is it slapping? It's like she's tickling the underside of his chin while some guy's got his hand up a dress. My God. That's a bit porny, isn't it? For, you know, what ages? It still says age 13 plus on the pack.
Yeah. What is this? So my God.
There's a woman being hand fondled raped by...
Oh, wait, no, is that a leg? That's a leg.
Is it?
And it just really looks like his head.
That's his hand. It's definitely supposed to be her leg. But now,
if it's her leg, it makes her waist look really weird and disgusting. Yeah. Like, just like a pink blob there. What is going on? Why would you approve that picture? It's terrible.
Yeah, well, what's that guy doing? Is he humping a leg then? It's just like
he's just like, ooh.
Yeah. It's like...
I assume she's trying to siphon their soul.
I haven't got as far as the card yet. Forget about the meaning of this. There's a weird maggot in a floating bubble in the background.
Yeah, brain maggot.
A green planet in the air. There's a star field, which is the shittest star field ever.
And it's not even like dark. It's just light purple.
Yeah, and it's like every single star in the star field has been placed there on purpose. Yeah. You know, it's just like, right.
Dot, dot, dot.
Two mil down, dot. That is terrible.
Yeah, I'll show you the lady that is pictured in there. Her name is Phage the Untouchable.
Right. Oh, she's... okay, she makes an appearance on a Mythic Rare.
Yeah, she
is. Has she got anyone's hand up address on that one?
No, her legs are skewed very awkwardly to the side to, like, fit them in the picture. And one of them looks like a stump, and the other one looks like a regular leg.
What's her name again?
Phage. The Untouchable. P-H-A-G-E.
In Siphon the Soul, she's also got two arrows in her left boob.
She's got two arrows in her left boob. I think that's just part of her her costume.
Is it? Oh, right.
Which is like a weird yellow... The yellow tennis balls. The green tennis balls off the from her courier hawk.
The courier hawk.
That's her breastplate. Oh my goodness!
Wow, that does actually that weird. Changes everything.
Changes everything. Yeah.
God, these connections. There's gonna be a magic comment about this,
and it'll
be
conspiracy.
It'll be sealed, and it won't be 13 plus. And this dirty old bastard in here with his hand up address. Anyway, all right. So it is a card. Oh, it's a common.
Is it though? Yeah.
Siphon Soul, two and a swamp sorcery. Siphon Soul deals 2 damage to each other player. You gain life equal to the damage dealt this way.
Another one of those ones that's really good when there's 4 of you.
Yeah.
Ultra terrible when there's only 2 of you left and you're like, oh, deal 2 damage to you and it does nothing
well,
else.
Well, 3 for 4 total damage. 2 for one guy, 2 for the other.
Yeah. Well, in 4-player, if you just cast this on turn 3, you just gain 6 life and they each take 2.
Oh, yeah, the life gain. Yeah, of course. So yeah, but then they're going to be pissed off, and then it's going to come and take that 6 life off you in a different way.
But at least it's not hitting one person for 6 damage, and it's hitting each of them for like a little shock. Like, you
so
know,
you're sort of doing people
them.
a bit of a favor as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So you're making yourself be the one with the highest life.
You're
life
sort
total.
Of stroking the chin of one person whilst the other person has their hand up your jacket.
You could say that.
Yeah.
Do you know what that picture makes originated from?
Okay,
I think it's from this artwork.
Okay, so I hate this card just purely on art reasons. Is it playable?
No.
And usually damage cards like that, you play to win the game, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like those fun kind of burn things.
There's one that I play in every...
Or is it going to be massively underrated like the Gary?
The thing with Gary is that it scales up.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Similar to a Exsanguinate, which was from Scars of Mirrodin, which was X black. Each opponent loses X life. You gain that much life.
Yeah.
And that was insane because if you draw it later and you're like 12, like you take 12 damage and if you play it in multiplayer, you gain like 40 life. This is only ever going to gain you 6 life.
Yeah.
Ever.
And it's not whether you win or lose. Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's how good you looked.
Yeah.
And if you're playing Siphon Soul, you look bad.
You look ugly.
So
scribble over this with a permanent marker and then throw it away.
All right. I hate that card. We've only got... We've got 3 cards in the do pile, and one of them is Brimstone Volley.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh, but now, here come the uncommons.
Here we go.
We're getting close to the big money card. Extract from Darkness. Wow, look at this guy. He's 3 for the blue, 3 and a blue, and a swamp. An island. Oh, God, I miss out. 3 colorless, an island, a swamp. He's uncommon. He's a sorcery.
Oh, this is one of my favorite cards in the set.
Yeah, because it's blue-black. You were playing that today.
I love blue-black.
Each player puts the top 2 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Then put a creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control.
Yeah.
So with 4 players on the table, you get a choice of 6 cards to... No, 2, 4, 6.
Each player plus yourself. Not to mention creatures that were already in the graveyard because you killed them
of
in
course.
Your black deck or countered them in your blue deck.
And it's onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
Well, that's unhinged.
Yeah, this is really, really powerful. Like I played
5 mana for that. Right.
Rise from the Grave in Corset before, which just does it from a graveyard into play for 5 mana. This is just like you can get something insane because it doesn't even have to be... have cast and gone to the graveyard, you get to mill them for some. And in one, I had a choice between like 10 things. I cast this card and I got another thing that got another card from my graveyard back. So it was just kind of like, yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be like, usually if you get something from someone's graveyard, you know, quite often you've killed it and it, you know, they're just going
to
kill it.
It took effort to get to that point.
Or it's just
setup
a shitty
cost.
Card anyway. Yeah. And you know, you're just going, oh, okay, I'll have that 1/2 fucking useless hawk thing. Yeah, whatever. But this, you can actually mill off their bomb card and just go, yep.
And there are quite a few powerful cards in this set.
All right, that's a keeper. I like that.
That's a good one.
Comment on the picture there. It's Dallas Williams.
The face of a worm coming out of a drain.
And the wall is made out of waves with waves on the top of it. And there's a guy up there. There's a
he's
guy
extracting
with glowing
it from,
blue
from
hands.
The darkness. Oh, it's like a...
He's
like
extracting...
It's like a portal into the ocean.
Made of bricks.
Made
you
of,
don't see portals made of bricks very often,
no.
do you?
A brick portal. I made one in Minecraft a few weeks ago, actually. Yeah.
Did one of these crazy bastards come out of it?
Like one of the zombie pigmen. Yeah, he got me.
Flavor text. If you want to wreak havoc above, Sometimes it's best to look below.
That should have been on the flavor text of the other one. With
that
the guy
reminds
with the
me of the first
address.
Date. Yeah, that reminds me of the first date I was on once. Oh, my goodness. All right,
you wanna
that's
on
the
boobies.
Yeah. Sometimes it's best to look below. Yeah. Oh, dear. All right. Here's a shit-looking card. Gamekeeper. I don't like... This is a different style. I don't know if I've jumped to something there. This might just be a different stylized card. It's by Scott Hampton. Mm-hmm. It's called Gamekeeper. It's our second uncommon for this pack.
It's Legolas
three
from Lord
and
of the Rings.
Green. Yeah. He's got very long hair.
And a
very long...
An army of turtles.
An army of pet turtles. He's a creature. He's an elf. He's at one with the turtles. Oh, he's a three for a forest, and he's a 2/2.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a theme that's occurring in this pack. Yeah. When Gamekeeper dies...
Oh,
that's not good. Hey, I've got this creature. You want to go into battle for me? Oh, but when you're only effective once you die.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're a 2/2. I'll send you into battle.
You can take your turtles with you. Don't worry. You won't be by yourself.
What about my turtles?
Yeah, that's where that turtle... The turtle in the background is yelling out, going, don't do it! They're screwing you! Hey, we haven't seen any rampaging beavers so far.
Oh, I know.
Is there any in the set?
Goodness, no. Zero rampaging beavers.
They wonder if wizards know that that's our mascot, don't they?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure they know.
Yeah, they must have. They'll be in there somewhere. We'll find him.
Yeah.
All right, when Gamekeeper dies, you may exile it. It's even worse.
You don't even have to exile it.
Do I get a grave when I die?
I can't return it to play with my...
Extract
from darkness.
No, okay.
It's bullshit.
You may exile it.
Yeah.
If you do, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card onto the battlefield and put all other cards revealed this way into your graveyard.
So this one could be very good or very, very, very shit.
Yeah, it could just mill yourself down to the next shit card.
And then put them all in the graveyard and someone extracts from darkness the next
Oh, look, it's another Gamekeeper. We can do this all again. Please kill this man.
Infinite loops.
Yeah. All right.
Not great. Very hit and miss. You're going to get a shitty creature at all of the time.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye, Gamekeeper. All right, our last uncommon is a very nasty picture here. Victimize. It's 2 and a swamp for a sorcery. Choose 2 target creature cards in your graveyard. Sacrifice a creature. If you do, return the chosen cards to the battlefield tapped. So
what's a rescue from the underworld
esque,
but for 3, that's really strong actually.
Yeah, but you've got to choose the two creature cards in your graveyard. So so it's not rescue from the underworld, and he comes back.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah,
you're
have to sack the creature.
You're
going to
go, hey
dude,
you're going to the underworld. Get the two guys, and there's no coming back.
Get your two larger friends back because I don't like you anymore. Yeah.
Don't worry, I've got more cards like this in my deck. We'll come and get you later.
I'll get you back later. Yeah, but good to sacrifice a token that you made with some other shit and get some.
Is this token crate and cards in this?
Yeah, there are. The one that I talked about,
the 1/1 defender
makes
a 1/1
defender.
Yeah.
There's a red white card. I don't know why you're playing a red white black deck, but a red white card that makes the 1/1s with defender as well. Also, there's Squirrel Nest, which is an enchantment.
Squirrel Nest.
Squirrel Nest, yeah.
Does it look like a rampaging beaver, perhaps?
No, it's just a nest
of
squirrels.
Maybe we can just stick rampaging beaver's face
on every squirrel. Yeah. You should see the squirrel.
By the way, rampaging beaver is charging badger, but rampaging beaver.
Rampaging beaver, that's the most popular token in the set, the 1/1 squirrel token made by Squirrel Nest.
Wow, it's even better than the spirit.
It's better than the spirit.
Yeah. Wow.
It's jumping at you like going, ah! It's a flying squirrel, yeah.
Great. So do we like Victimize?
It's interesting.
You're
going to get to a point in these multiplayer games do go on a bit long. So you're
going
to get
graveyard.
To a point where you can get 2 creatures into play for sacking some shit you didn't need. So
But it could also be nothing. Because you've got nothing in there.
It could also have no targets.
Yeah, and there's you've got Ho-Hum creature out in the battlefield, mm-hmm. and you've got Ho-Hum creatures in your graveyard.
Yeah,
you don't care. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're getting there. All right, Here we go now. I'm edging it up. It's a gold card. Is that good?
Oh, yeah, it could be Dak Faden.
It's by John Stanko.
No, I have no idea.
Artist John Stanko. It's a 4/4.
Oh, that's not good.
It's black white.
Oh, it's the lady from the packet.
It's gold.
Yeah.
It's rare. It's gold.
What the fuck
am I talking about? It's 4, a white, and a black.
Yeah, it's Magister of Worth.
It's Magister of Worth.
Yeah, the Lady from the Pack.
Oh, Lady from the Pack. Did we keep Victimized? Did we say?
Oh, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, give it a go.
Magister of Worth. Wow. There she is. You still can't see her other shoulder in this one. Cause we're all about shoulders.
Hidden behind her weird arm.
Yeah, she's got abs. She's got they're kind of. Yeah.
But she's got butterfly wings. Why do angels? Yeah. Angels shouldn't have butterfly wings. They should have like majestic bird wings.
She is the flying nun, though, isn't she? Literally,
she's literally just a flying nun.
I mean, that's a reference from the '70s or something, wasn't it? That's where what was her name? Can't remember what her name is now. Sally Fields.
Oh, flying nun. Flying
she
stand
out
right.
in that something like that. Yeah.
Terrible special effects.
Is it? I've never just seen like, it.
She's just standing there in front of a.
You can see the
vague representation of a green screen.
Yeah. All right, how much can I pay off the house with this Magister of Worth card?
No, it's like $2. This is the promo that we gave out to
people. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not in the list of cards we want. Although there is another card to come.
There is one more, which is the conspiracy card. Or Draft Matters card.
Can that be a foil?
No, it can't be. The foil replaces are common in these packs. Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy, there's a lot of text on this, but we think we know it, don't we?
Yeah, I said it before.
So flying 4/4, will of the council, a magister of worth, enters the battlefield, starting with you. Each player votes for grace or condemnation. If grace gets more votes, each player returns each creature.
Creature card. I thought it was a creature card. It's each creature card.
If grace gets more votes, each player returns each creature card from his or her graveyard to the battlefield.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. If condemnation gets more votes or the vote is tied, destroy all creatures other than Magister of Worth.
So it's
including your sleeping grandma. With ice cream. You got to choke her.
Condemnation!
Choke her with ice cream. Wow.
Wow, okay. I didn't realize it was each creature. That's insane.
That is insane.
So everyone gets every creature back that ever died in this entire game, and you just got a 4/4 with fly. Oh, you get all the stuff back from your graveyard, so, I suppose, but that's crazy.
Give me a time when condemnation is going to get more votes, where everyone's just going to go, yeah, we're just going to kill everything except for that flying 4/4 that you just got, which is going to wipe the floor with us.
Maybe this is the centerpiece of your black-white votes deck. You just go votes. I've got 6 votes. You've all got 1 vote each. I'll vote all of my votes for condemnation. Destroy all your shit. I've got a 4/4 with flying. No, I'm
so
kill
you want condemnation to happen, but if you can't force your hand to make it happen,
you get the stuff back from your graveyard.
Yeah, but so does everyone else.
Yeah,
and it's just going to be.
Maybe you can exile their graveyards in some way.
Can you do that?
I don't think so.
In a white black deck.
Not in this set. No.
White black. No,
there's no good way to do it.
Okay. I'll write in and let us know if there's a way that... let us know. When would you vote for condemnation unless it was forced upon you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, so we'll move on to our conspiracy card. It looks pink. My God. Is that...
What?
Is that...
That's odd.
It's a pinkish hue. Pinky? Looks like it's... The board looks like it's made out of like the same material that my grandma's toilet... sweet used to be made out of like this weird pink marble stuff.
Pink marble? It's expensive, isn't it?
Unexpected potential.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's an ice god in flames. He's doing well. He's not melted.
Oh, good.
It's a conspiracy card. It's a hidden agenda card.
Oh, it's a hidden agenda.
So you start with it face down in your command zone. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast spells with a chosen name.
Oh, this is a good one.
So you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast spells with the chosen.
So, say,
so you've got to pick a hidden agenda. So yeah, so you name a card.
So pack one, pick some cool red rare. Got a bunch of red and green cards. Pack two, got a bunch of sweet red and green cards.
Yeah.
Pack three, I don't really open anything except for unexpected potential.
Yeah.
I take unexpected potential. It means that I can cast any card that I draft from that pack that comes after it.
Mm.
So say you get past the Magister of Worth. You just write Magister of Worth on your unexpected potential. Flip it up when you're about to cast it and say, I'm going to spend mana as if it was any color to play this random bomb that I got afterwards.
Yeah.
So you can just whip that out of nowhere. You can even count it like, you know, do a counter spell in your red-green deck because you can cast it.
Yeah.
Unexpected potential, yeah. Really interesting. I think this is a really sweet one.
It could lead... Okay, so that's because it's a conspiracy card. It's already out on the table, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about the mulliganing yourself if you're holding onto cards hoping to get this, but it's already out there.
It's already out,
So you draw it, you just go, sweet, can happen anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so you're not holding on to something bad. Oh, well, that was Buster Booster.
That's pretty sweet. What's our pick? I think I'm just going to take the Angel.
Oh, yeah? You'd go for Magister of Worth?
Yeah, it just looks like a bit of fun.
Yeah, well, Brainstorm, Apex Hawks, Brimstone Volley, they're not first picks. Extract from Darkness was cool,
I actually really like Extract from Darkness.
Each player puts the top two cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, then I put a creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It's yeah, that is pretty cool,
it's
isn't
pretty
it?
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I, without knowing the set too much, Magister of Worth sounds like you've got your work cut out for you to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you could just be giving everyone a favor.
Magister
from
of
back.
Work.
Yeah, Magister of Work. if you can get the extra vote cards, which you tell me you're in there, that would be pretty cool. But mm-hmm. I know. I like Extract from Darkness. That's pretty Extract from Darkness. Yeah, it's not the Extract from Darkness. It's like, I've been reading these journals all night, and this Extract, whoa, my God.
Fucking dark, man.
Yeah, this is dark stuff, man. Look at his methodology, brother. What's that sound floating down off the Himalayas? It's time for Aaron Graham Premonitions. Premonitions. Premonitions.
Yeah. Oh. Premonitions.
We've been looking forward
to
this.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Whew. Wow,
man! If we've got mail, it could have been about this.
Yeah. Possible that it was about this.
It was
this
very
or
possible
concerning this.
My God, people are excited about Aaron Graham. Premonitions.
I've been cooped up in a shack in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah,
just eating beetles and all the inhaling the
just
herbs,
high on life,
just
and
high on life and herbs,
and
drugs that I found in Papua New Guinea,
and some bad shit that you bought at the airport.
And
yeah.
I've been in the deep recesses of my subconscious.
Yeah,
I've
just imagining booster packs from the future.
Booster packs, just cracking booster packs, smelling them.
Yeah.
And the sense
and
of the cards within.
They fell, all the cards fall open and the advert pack falls away.
Yeah.
And you fan them out and you look and you see the names.
I see them.
You see them
in my mind's eye.
Wow.
I see each and every
card. That's an incredible
so,
power that you
I
have.
I think in the future when we do Flavor Text and MTG Card Quiz, we can say... I know everything about every card that
we should be
ever
smashed
been
out
printed
of our face, no.
And ever will be printed as well.
Ever will be printed.
Ever will be printed.
Well, you've heard it here first, listeners. We'll have flavor text from the future.
Recorded, a recorded version of me actually saying that now. No.
Okay, well, in a month's time, when we get back for a 7-line hand extra, we'll have flavor text from the future.
No!
All right.
It doesn't just work whenever I want it, David.
We've managed to channel your skills of premonition. Mm-hmm. We're going to be focusing us on M15, I believe. Is that that's right? You've had some strong vibes on the...
Looked a couple months, a month and a bit into the future.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good. When does M15 come out?
M15 comes out middle of July.
That's not too far away.
It's not very far away at all. Yeah. Pre-release is 16th and 17th
so
of July.
So I'd imagine that the vibrations of futurism that you've been experiencing are pretty strong.
Now, they're quite
strong. Release is so close.
Yeah.
So we can almost lock these premonitions in as fact that we're about to hear.
Yeah.
Listener, look forward to the following.
I'll blame the Papua New Guinea drugs if that goes badly. So pre-release is actually the 12th and 13th of July. I'm very forgetful even though I can predict and see the future.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. All right, so we've broken these down into four sections. Planeswalkers, Mythics, Lands, and Returning Mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let us know what's happening on the Planeswalkers front.
I'll just lead it off with the very special thing that we're going to be seeing a change in the Magic the Gathering borders. The borders of the cards for the first time in Future Sight, they mess around with it, but the first time they've changed every Magic card that's going to be printed from now on.
Yeah.
It's coming in M15, so I'm very excited about that.
So you can read the number of the card.
You can read the number,
which
always tells you what set it's from down
as
the
a collector.
Left. Yeah.
It drives me mad on. I forgot which colors are worst. I think it's going to be red
cards.
It's like
red, yeah. On
you
red,
can't
they just
read
look
the number.
Really bad.
Yeah. So, boy, am I looking forward to that. That's exciting news. That's getting my nerd gene very,
so
very
excited. They've cleaned up the borders.
Yeah.
I'm seeing in my mind's eye.
Yeah,
not,
of course.
Not from the internet.
No.
They've cleaned up the borders.
No one knows anything about this.
I think they're going to change the font.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, they're going for a sans serif or...
Tahoma. Like a comic sans-esque kind of thing.
Very popular these days.
They actually made up a new font. It's called Bellerin, like Jace Bellerin.
Oh, right.
So
they run out of words to invent. Is that what
apparently
happened?
So.
Yeah. Because otherwise it just like
Bellerin just sounds like Bellend to me.
Yeah. When they've made up new names recently, it sounds like underpant cleansing kind of names, isn't it? Like a dirty...
One of the characters in Conspiracy is called Marchese.
Marchese. Okay. I used to work with someone of a certain amount of time, I think.
Marcheesy the Black Rose.
Yeah.
Was that her name?
Yeah, I think so. That's her.
So, yeah, Mythics and Rares going to have a little holo symbol, so they're more difficult to forge.
I was going more difficult to read.
Difficult to read.
So they get, hang on, what are they going to have?
A little foil. On cards that aren't foil, a little, like, you know, on the VHSs that have a little thing. This is genuine.
It's hologram,
man. It's going to be on every rare and mythic rare from 2015 onwards.
That'll take nearly 2 days for the Southeast Asian crew to forge.
There aren't a lot of Chinese people working on making millions of dollars when making forgeries of these. That's going to stop them. The font changed. That's going to stop them as well.
Yeah,
they can't copy the font from the fucking card that they can see.
Where are you going to get Belleron from?
Oh, hey. Who knows?
Yeah.
Hey,
Word 97, why haven't you got Belleron as a font? Yeah, we'll get some poor bastard just to copy it. Yeah. It's like, that'll be it.
Your job is to draw the font in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Yeah, come back in 23 minutes.
Forgeries, we've solved them.
26 minutes. We'll give you a minute per letter. Go.
All right.
We want numbers, though.
Capital.
Small text. This is bigger than I thought, this job.
Capitals, lowercase, and numbers. Yeah. It's tough, man.
Wow, so these cards, we're not even going to recognize them.
They're going to look really weird.
Yeah, they're going to look like dice. It's unrecognizable.
They'll be cubes. I'll be turning some into cubes.
Yes. Okay, so the general format's changed, and... Planeswalkers?
Okay, so Planeswalkers. Okay. Yeah. I'm seeing packaging. Garrick.
Garrick.
Last time we saw Garrick.
Yeah.
He'd been corrupted by the veil of Liliana.
He softened lately, I think, in cards. He was a mad bastard.
He was mad in Innistrad.
Around about there. Yeah. He was off his face.
Yeah, he'd
been eating beetles out in the wilderness, hadn't he?
That was what I modelled my experiences on.
Yeah. And also your body, by the way, you've been working out.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm 8 foot tall now.
Everyone's noticed. Everyone's talking about it. And the bear skins suits you. It goes with the beard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The scent comes with living in the forest, but I'm sure you guys can excuse that.
Anyway, enough of his loving. What's Garrick up to?
So Garrick, he's been corrupted by the veil. He's got black mana influencing him.
Yeah.
Garrick, he's going to be a black-green planeswalker in this set. Black and green. Yeah, he was corrupted by the veil, turned into that jewel-faced card where he went well mad. Came back in the core set because they realized that the other one was too good. He's coming back in this core set. He's the main character. He's on all the packaging and everything.
And he's going to be good.
He's going to be black and green.
Black and green. So what, Liliana sort of twisted him a little bit? They went out on a date or something? Or they broke up and went bad? Or
they were very angry at each other over something that happened on Innistrad. And she's like, oh, touch this veil. And he touched it like an idiot.
Stuck his hand up there.
Stuck his hand up the veil like Phage.
Yeah.
And
That's terrible.
So he's going to be black and green. I think one of the second multicolor planeswalker in a core set.
And he'll have some sort of more black type skills, I imagine. Is that,
last time, have
you seen anything of that on the card?
In the premonitions, maybe a sacrifice creature thing, maybe something to get lands out, destroy a land, maybe get a land. It's not clear.
The text is a bit blurry. I can see, fading in consciousness as you're reaching for it.
Four loyalty.
Yeah.
5 mana cost.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Any other planeswalkers to look forward to?
Yeah, okay. There was the plane of Zendikar. There was an elf lady named Nissa Ravain.
Oh, okay.
And I've not from the internet or from other people's podcasts. Definitely not.
I can almost see the auras like
future visions
crawling into your ears from here.
Yeah. Nissa Ravain. She's going to be the
Nissa
green.
Of what?
Nissa Ravain.
Ravain.
Ravain. A brand new version of Nissa that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
She's going to take the green planeswalker spot of Garrick.
She's pure green.
She's pure green. She's
so we've got a green-black planeswalker and a green planeswalker.
There's going to be 6 planeswalkers in the set. There's going to be a white, a blue, a black, a red, a green, and a black-green Garrick.
That is crazy, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like I've been eating beetles.
Oh, my, it's
I
crazy.
I feel like I'm getting a bit high myself.
If you hear these words going into your ears, just hold on to something.
Yeah, press pause.
This is crazy.
You may be on a bit of a trip for the next four or five minutes.
Yeah, this is mental, this is.
Yeah.
The white planeswalker.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a Jani. It's It's not going to be a Johnny.
What?
It's not going to be a Johnny. A Johnny was just in Jenny to next. We've had enough of him. We've had enough of
him. He was the Mentos of heroes.
He was the Mentos of all the heroes, enjoyed all the Mentos that he had to give.
Yeah. If he was to do a podcast, what would that sound like? Yes.
Like one of those monkeys that's got like fudge to the top of its mouth that makes it look like it's talking.
So we've had enough of Johnny.
We just came out in Johnny to next. Next set, we don't need another Johnny.
We've blown my mind. Gideon Jura.
Oh, really?
Gideon's coming back.
He's coming back in the corset.
Yeah.
White Planeswalker generally turns himself into a creature so you can attack with your Planeswalker. He's going to be pretty cool. He's going to shake up standard. I think it's going to be pretty sweet.
Right. Any of the other colors have you got a grip on?
Jace is going to be the same. Jace Memory.
It's the same old shit.
Jace Memory Adept.
Yeah.
People are sick of Jace being good all the time. Normal Jace.
A shit one.
Whatever. No. Mill 10, whatever. No one cares. Thanks, Jace. Chandra, Pyromaster. Yeah. Big hit, face of M14.
Yeah.
Haven't had enough time with Chandra. Haven't had enough time to explore all the potential that she has to offer.
I bet you could say she'd be hot under the collar.
She's hot under the collar.
Yeah. She'll light your fire.
She's warm
to the touch.
Yeah. Chandra, Pyromaster, Red Planeswalker in M15. Brand new border.
we never saw that coming.
Oh, that's crazy.
Chandra's going to be the Red Planeswalker.
They're not changing it the year right after they changed it. She's back.
All right.
I can't choose what the visions give me. Sometimes they give me reprints.
Liliana, black, what? Anything?
Black, Lily, nothing. Maybe Garrick will replace the black planeswalker.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wow,
maybe there's only five planeswalkers. I'm not sure. The visions were unclear.
Right, yeah.
Mythics.
What mythics are we going to be losing our minds over?
Corsets are really interesting in that they have five planeswalkers in them, which is crazy if you think about that.
Imagine if
there were five planeswalkers in Theros. So they're a bit pigeonholed with what mythics they can still fit in the set. But I'm getting visions.
They're not going to go mythic crazy visions as well.
No, they can't put more mythics in. It ruins the print runs.
Yeah, yeah.
They run out of bronze visions.
Yeah. I've only got a little bit of that.
Orange little spot that they've got to put
there. Yeah. They haven't got a lot of those bronze holograms.
No. Very expensive.
Very expensive.
Very difficult to forge.
People will just be cutting them out and selling them.
Is that sticky tape to that card there? What?
No, it's just a bag. I've just got a little bag full of mythics that I've cut out.
Collect them. Oh, man. It was really difficult to forge these cards.
So what you're saying, there's going to be the planeswalkers,
so that's five of the mythics.
Yeah.
There's generally 12.
Yeah.
12 mythics.
12-ish. So we're looking for seven more?
Seven more. One will be a famous artifact from the past.
Oh, a reprint.
A reprint.
Yeah.
Not a brand new mythic artifact.
Right. Was it a mythic before, or was it an old one that's been printed at rare
before the mythics came into being.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was
that's
that
just
good.
What I'm feeling. It's what I'm feeling.
Can you put a name to it? Have you got an image?
Is there an image?
Is it like one of them funny robotic things? Is it
an artifact? Equipment.
It's equipment.
It's an equipment.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's an equipment. It's mythic rare.
Wow.
It's gonna be exciting.
It's not like an Acroma's memorial that you can strap onto your back or wear as a hat.
it has to be.
And it's only one mana. And it's Acroma's memorial.
One mana Acroma's memorial, like on a creature, like a first strike.
And you wear it as a hat.
Yeah,
it crushes the head of your
hat.
Yeah, Acroma's hat.
Acroma's fancy hat.
Yeah, and your creatures, but unfortunately, when you put it on, it's so heavy it just slams you into the ground and crushes your head.
Yeah, enchanted creature loses, can't block because it doesn't have a head anymore, and loses flying because it's very heavy.
But it can just do everything.
But it can do everything else apart from that.
It can do everything, but it gets like -14/14.
Yeah, like -10/-10, but gets every ability in magic. Yeah,
okay. So for a second there, it just glows and then it's gone.
Yeah. I'm not going to lock that one in, but it sounds like a design space.
Yeah,
that
sorry.
I'm just. I like to do.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm freebasing it. I mean, freeforming. Yeah.
I'm sensing a cycle of mythics. So
that'd be interesting.
They haven't done this properly in a while since the Titans. The Sun Titan, Inferno Titan, Frost Titan. They haven't done it in a while. They were slightly too good, the Titans.
Yeah.
Dominated standard. Every deck that could play a Titan was playing a Titan. So something big, when they want to make reference to other sets.
Yeah.
Want to make reference to other sets. I'm feeling a big green creature that makes three threes for when you pay more mana for it. It's the soul of a world we've been to. Soul of Zendikar.
Soul of Zendikar.
Soul of Zendikar.
That sounds great.
It's a green mythic
rare.
Is it
a huge worm or something?
I think
like
it's
that.
A big worm beast, elemental. Yeah. And you can pay mana when it's in play to make beast tokens. Oh, and then you can exile it from your graveyard to make some beast tokens as
wow,
well.
Wow, that's a great premonition.
So even after it dies, you're making beasts. Yeah. Difficult to deal with. It's pretty big by itself. I can't tell exactly how big it is, but yeah. It's
wow.
pretty cool.
I do like, you know, like those big mythic rare greens.
Yeah.
There's just a massive creature in the
and
picture.
And then there's upside to them.
They're always cool just to look at the picture.
Yeah. The hydras are all awesome, but I'm glad they're moving away from the green mythic hydra and making a cool new elemental token.
They haven't got Ron Spears to do the artwork.
Ron Spears has done it. The Soul of Zendikar is a huge beast. It's just like, it looks like just a lady wearing a ridiculous outfit just strangling a guy.
Meanwhile, someone's down the other end testing its prostate.
Soul of Zendikar, can you cough?
I'm a world-eating worm. Hey, everyone has to get their prostate checked. Come
Even
on.
World-eating worms need to get their prostate checked.
Man.
That's our PSA for today.
All right.
I'm feeling one more mythic from that
mythic
cycle. It's a soul of. That's the cycle.
Cycle. Soul
the names,
of cycle.
Soul of Ravnica.
Soul of Ravnica.
Soul of Ravnica.
Something so they're referencing lots of...
Referencing lots of different planes, I think.
Yeah. Do you think this could go on? They could be referencing all sorts of... Soul of Innistrad could be the black one.
Soul of Innistrad.
Woof, that
I'm seeing
good,
that in my visions.
Yeah.
Soul of... Wait for it.
Yeah.
The new set that's coming out in October, Tarkir.
Of course, they're thinking forwards, aren't they?
Khans of Tarkir. Soul of Tarkir is the red one. Yeah. And then that just leaves...
Blue?
Blue. Blue is Ravnica, green Zendikar, red Tarkir, black Innistrad.
Yeah,
that leaves
that's another color. How many fingers did you hold up then?
White.
Did we do white?
Soul of Mirrodin.
Ooh,
yeah, right. And it's got something to do with artifacts or some shit.
Okay,
enchantments.
Enchantments.
Oh,
No.
Theros. Soul of Theros. It's got to do with the enchantments. There we go. I just aligned the. Oh
yeah,
the,
I can
the
see
pieces.
Yeah. Okay.
So well, that's all I've got up for mythics.
Okay. Now that's the money cards, lands.
Lands.
Are these going to be the sort of cards that we're going to pull as many as we can and then trade them in?
Yeah. So they did something very odd last year with M14. Yeah. They knew the lands in Zendikar. Lands in Theros were really good. The Scry lands, very powerful. Sinlaw's standard play. They knew the lands in Ravnica were obviously very good. The Shock lands.
Yeah.
You don't need a bunch of Corset lands. They said.
That's what they said for M14.
Yeah, yeah. Ravnica's gone, we're going to be pretty strapped for lands that make two colors. Yeah. So we need to be introduced in
Buddy
new
lands.
Cycle.
Buddy lands.
Buddy lands.
Oh, Buddy lands.
Glacial
back.
Fortress. You're back, buddy. You're back in business.
I love Buddy lands.
Glacial Fortress.
They're my buddy.
Dragon Scale Summit, and for the first time ever, they're going to put in all 10 of them: the Innistrad Buddy lands, Hinterland Harbor, Isolated Chapel.
So you got all combinations
be there as well. All combinations available. They don't want someone to be messed around.
Yeah.
It means that standard's going to be crazy for 3 months before Ravnica rotates out.
I'd imagine you're saying that there's going to be 10 of them. They don't want anyone to be left out. But I'd imagine that there'll be 9 of them and they'll leave out a green white one.
Fuck green white. That's why it says wizards.
Yeah.
Green white, you've got enough shit
for a
lifetime. Sun Petal Grove, not in the set.
I've imagined someone in R&D was married to someone and they always used to play green and white and they had an ugly divorce. She probably looked like a Mara Tandris.
It's just based on her long face.
Yeah. And they've gone, fuck green white. You're never going to have a good game ever again.
5/7. How do you like that for 7 mana?
Enjoy that shit. Take the pain. All right. Oh, Buddy lands. Oh,
no
I'm
green
so
lands.
Happy. I'm looking forward to that. I've got to wait until the middle of July for this.
Yeah. It's only 3 weeks away. It's only 3 weeks away before pre-release.
Oh, the World Cup will get me there. Yeah. All right. Returning mechanics.
Returning mechanics. See, I was having premonitions a few months ago about landfall. Because I saw Corsair of Kryphix in the past and in the future. I saw landfall. I saw fetch lands. And they're going to print them.
Yeah,
I revise one of my earlier premises? No. It's too far gone. It's
the Buddy Lands. You're thinking fetch lands instead.
No, I'm thinking...
Oh, don't take Buddy Lands away from me.
It's possible. Oh. It's definitely possible. But I think mana might be too good
yeah.
for a little while. I'm thinking no lands.
You're thinking no lands.
Thinking no lands.
But they can't. But like you said, Ravnica cards are all going to disappear.
I'm seeing it in the future because... Yeah.
Well, you're getting connections with the future.
In the future, Khans of Tarkir is going to have fetch lands. Khans of Tarkir. So before the Shocklands...
That's October.
That's October. Yeah. So we'll have Skylands and Shocklands until October.
And then,
bam, boom, fetch lands. Fetch lands and scry lands.
It could be a new thing then in the core sets. They'll just go, no lands, we're not doing that anymore.
No lands, yeah.
That's
sad, though. I like lands in core set. I like it makes a reason to keep opening booster
keeps
packs.
Keeps John Avon in...
How's John Avon going to make his money?
Hello, it keeps food on the table.
He can't paint creatures and beings of myth.
We've all learned that.
We know John Avon. It's all right, buddy.
Wolf. He's the man. Go to him.
Fetch land reprints in Khans of Tarkir, but that's quite a while away. No lands in M15.
All right,
sorry.
You drifted back in lands there. Returning mechanics.
Returning mechanics, So no landfall, which was what was making me think of all of these premonitions that I got last week.
What's landfall?
New Guinea. Landfall is whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, some effect.
Okay,
But I'm not seeing landfall. Maybe landfall in Khans. It's too far away to tell. The returning mechanic for M15, I think, will be... Convoke.
I haven't even heard of that.
So convoke.
Is that even a word?
It is.
It is.
Apparently.
All right.
Similar to provoke.
Provoke.
But you con it instead of proing. Proing it.
Provoke.
Provoke.
Convoke. So you unvoke somebody.
Invoke is a different one.
Yeah. you anti-voke. You anti-voke them.
You can ultra-voke someone. Can you just voke something?
Supervoke.
Can I voke you?
Infravoke.
Infravoking you.
I'm going through my anatomy now.
Intervoking, intravoking, ultravoking.
That was my first band line. Ultravox.
Ultravoxing.
As a kid, my cousin used to play Ultravox.
Ultravox.
So therefore, I had to love it as well.
I've got a Vox.
Have you?
It's nice, yeah. 100 watts.
Ah.
Yeah. It's got a bit of grunt behind it.
I've got one that's 105. 105 watts.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Get the 106.
Yeah, it's just a little bit better than yours.
Returning mechanic.
Yeah.
Convoke. Convoke is a different way to spend mana on a spell. It's been in the past. It was in the Ravnica block.
Yeah. The original Ravnica.
Original Ravnica.
Yeah, yeah.
Convoke says for each creature that you tap...
Yeah.
In addition to paying mana cost for the spell, reduces its mana cost by one colorless or the creature's color. So say your spell costs 2 green-white and you have a green and a white creature out, you can pay the spell for 2 colorless by tapping the 2 creatures as if they were lands.
Wow. Can you tap them for colorless as well?
You can tap them for colorless if you want to, yeah. That's coming into play. Yeah. There'll be a mythic rare, I think... With Convoke, a few good rares with Convoke, and then mostly it'll be for limited play.
I like that. There's a lot of M15. Pros and there's a lot of cons to that to that mechanic.
To that Voke.
Yeah, to that Voke. Yeah.
A lot of pros, a lot of Convokes.
Yeah, so pro-Convoke.
Yeah.
Any other returning mechanics?
Oh, no. There's only one.
I don't want to put too much pressure on your psychic abilities because you know, I don't want
you
to
fall. You can see that my face is going quite bright blue.
As if you fall over in a coma, we'll just have to, you know, like we usually do when you just black out as you're having these premonitions, just jam ice cream in your face.
And draw willies on me.
Yeah.
With permanent marker.
And then wake you up and tell you nothing happened.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Did we say, was there any more? I didn't want to.
No, the muse has left me.
Oh, okay. He's off. All right. Well, that was the end of Aaron Graham premonitions.
Do I have to leave now that the premonitions are done?
No, just your muse.
Just my muse. Yeah, it's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. Muse has left the building.
Texts and tweets. All right. What have we got, Aaron?
We don't have a 7-line hand mobile number, so we're not getting any texts.
Got texts on there.
Texts and tweets.
Tweets.
I'm not sure. I feel like we've been saying that for a long time.
Have we?
Yeah, it's like texts and tweets. It just sounds good.
It does, doesn't it?
We love Buster Booster, texts and tweets.
Yeah.
Even though we have...
Alliteration. Here we are.
Alliteration, here it is.
Yeah, 7-line hand. No, that doesn't work.
Got a few comments
last week.
All right. What's been happening? I'm going to begin with a comment from Mr. Meat Axe.
Oh, Tim the Meat Axe.
Sir Meat Axe.
Oh, man. What's this guy been up to?
He listened to our Journey into Nick's podcast.
Yeah, well, of course he did.
Of course he did.
A long-time listener, regular follower, regular commenter.
Yeah, huge fan. He said his favorite part from the entire show.
Yeah.
I won't paraphrase. He says, quote, "Nearly pissed myself with the, you wish to learn of Nyx?" Right. That's now etched into my brain.
Oh, man.
We had a bit of fun in that podcast talking about the ridiculous card names and the stupid satyrs of Nyx.
I can't remember any of that.
No,
I don't think I was there.
I think we may have been...
I'm starting to get worried about the Meadax's bodily functions because regularly he's he's just dropping a bundle. A couple of liters of urine here and there. He's
pawning his body off.
Was he?
To get a foil Goldforge Sentinel the week before that. So
He was pawning,
worried about
he him. Was pawning your body off. He was just, giving you favors.
He's pawning his mouth off.
which is part of his body.
Pawning off the inside of his mouth.
I stand corrected. Yeah.
That is a part of his body, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, a few weeks ago, I think he lost his shit.
And then this week he nearly pissed himself.
So talk about someone who's that Dax guy with the stainy Dax?
Dak faded.
Dak faded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet his Dax are quite fading.
Yeah.
Into
piss, shit.
Yeah. Oh poor man. Well, I don't know what we can do for you there, Tim.
We'll speak to you. We'll send you a message after the show.
Maybe get you some Seven-Land Hand underwear.
Program. Yeah. Seven-Land Hand Y-fronts.
Yeah, Seven-Land Hand Y-fronts.
We'll after badges, Y-fronts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we'll get those out to the meat axe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but keep it real.
Across the front of the Y-fronts is going to say, "You wish to learn of Nyx."
Yeah, step inside. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm excited about those as well.
You wish to learn of Nyx?
Yeah, Buddylands and Seven-Land Hand undies. It's going to be a good one. Come on, July. Okay. All right. What else have we got?
We also got a bit of a paragraph.
A bit
of a paragraph.
It looks lengthy. I can see the amount of time. And I haven't read this.
He hasn't read it, yeah. No. David's first viewing of this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say who it's from afterwards.
Use the words that they wrote.
This is in response to our pandemic episode, which just came out 2 weeks ago.
With Matt McCall, regular expert.
Yeah, because we introduced him in the pandemic week, I keep thinking that we need to make like snot jokes.
About Matt. What?
Because he was here the first time we introduced him as a permanent member, we're like,
yeah.
Oh, mucus filled rags.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so now I'm just like, just
that's a theme
snot,
now.
Yeah.
Matt McHale.
Yeah, it's regardless of what game.
He was malarial Matt McHale.
Malarial Matt McHale, that's it. Yeah, mucus, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he'll have moved on to something brand new and
Terry
festy.
Terry Pratchett, next
yeah. More of that later.
This is from Facebook in response to our pandemic.
It'll be
episode.
Terry Matchett.
This is the comment.
Oh, sorry. I mean, who's what, are we
this
saying
is from? Oh yeah, we'll just say who it's from now. It's from Ian Lau.
Ian Lau. Right.
Maybe in relation to our tight knit group of hardcore listeners,
local gamers. Oh, it wouldn't be a relation of our Seven-Land Hand competition winner.
Winner Tess Lau.
Tess Lau.
Definitely possible.
Definitely the same last name.
Almost definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Ian Lau. There's also a tiny 9-year-old Vanguard player called Ian Lau. So
oh, is there?
I don't think it's him, though.
Oh, okay.
After I read it, maybe you'll be able to tell me.
I'll make a judgment. I'll tell you exactly where it's from.
Did you hear that the Australian version of the third edition of Pandemic...
Yeah.
So we were reviewing the second edition, which came out 2012.
You're right.
Due out in 2014.
Yeah.
Will drop the scientist role...
Oh. Okay.
...and replace it with a chaplain.
What?
Really? Also, the cubes will have frowns or smiley faces depending on which way up they're placed. The chaplain will be able to bless the infected, allowing you to turn the cube over from frowning to smiles. You can still win at the end of the game if all the infected have smiley faces and die happy.
Well,
is this like a political, religion-y...
Well, there's a few things going on for me there. It's like...
Okay.
Is it real?
I don't think it's real.
He's made it up.
He's twisting the game commentary into social political commentary.
Well, I'd like to point out also, point B, we can't remember anything that we said on any of the previous podcasts.
We're not liable for anything.
We're not liable for anything
on the previous podcast.
Including what we're about to say, that's also...
When we're talking about it in a few weeks after we've been arrested, we weren't liable for this.
And we're not liable for any premonitions that Aaron might have. He can't be responsible for what comes in.
Some of them may be incorrect.
Magic muse.
The devil gives his visions as much as the Jesus does.
Yes. So we've got some a pandemic premonition here from our Ian Lau, pretty
much. Yeah, from Ian Lau. So,
the smiley face dice thing sounds like a shit idea.
I think he's trying to say...
Right.
This is what I'm getting from this.
You're reading between the lines, aren't you?
I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, you got that face on.
And it's... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the reading
kind
between
of
the
like
lines
my
face.
Premonition
a
space.
Bit like that, yeah.
He's saying... The scientific budget,
yeah,
schools, learning, whatever. Yeah.
All that valuable stuff.
In Australia specifically, because it says it's in the Australian edition.
Oh, yes.
I assume he's an Australian resident.
Yes.
That's where most of our listeners are
from. I can see it, yeah.
The science budget for high schools.
Which is massively important.
Massively
and we should
important.
Encourage that and just spend loads on that, I'd imagine.
Money should be given towards the science program instead of the chaplaincy program.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
In
yeah.
public schools,
yeah.
there's a chaplain there saying Jesus is going to be able to help you with your problem.
Don't take that medication.
Don't Jesus take your, will heal you.
Yeah, don't take your diabetes medication. Yeah, you don't need that. Jesus will help you.
So, going back to my best diseases for pandemic before, say the disease that you're trying to cure is diabetes.
Yeah.
Your chaplain's not going to help you very much.
But
maybe
can make
the government
you happy.
Should be giving more money towards scientific endeavors, cancer research, so on, rather than putting money that we don't need into... Yeah.
You've used actual knowledge there, Aaron.
Oof.
Current affairs.
I could be very wrong, and he could be very Christian and be saying...
And be massively offended by
about
now. You
still win at the end of the game if all the infected have smiley faces and die happy. Yeah. But that doesn't sound like
I think you've got the nail on the head. Has that been in current affairs? Because I never watch the news because I like to stay cheery.
Yeah, there were people talking about reducing chaplaincy.
They weren't politicians, were they? Reducing chaplaincy.
Reducing it.
Oh, well, that's all right, isn't it?
But in the budget, there was a large section of the budget towards chaplaincy in schools.
Oh, let's get that and put it in science.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So
why
do
we need it?
Yeah, well,
can
we don't
it go
need...
towards universities or something?
Yeah.
Or so some other shit.
So we could do pandemic ultra scientist.
Yeah.
That's a very clever comment, that.
It's quite
I like that.
In depth.
High five, Ian Lau.
Yeah. Thank you, Ian.
Well, good. Yeah. Hey, he'll get himself a Seven Land Hand badge for that.
Oh, yeah. He definitely
Have you ever met him?
Yeah,
is he coming to the store?
No, he's coming. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure I've met him. I've met both the Vanguard player and the person
you've met
that's
everyone that's
to,
coming through the store.
Test.
Ian Lau,
Seven Land Hand badge for this very thought-provoking comment that we originally thought was quite odd.
Yeah, we thought you were mad. Now we think you're the greatest genius ever to have listened to this show.
Working in budget, politically commentary with pandemic.
I know. I think he's raised the bar
he's
a little bit because he's made you use actual knowledge.
Yeah, wow.
He's made us seem politically aware and astute.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed something that's almost like a... You know, newsworthy.
Yeah. Almost newsworthy.
People will be writing in now. They'll be going, oh, I like chaplaincy in the schools. And then other people will go, oh, I want more science in the schools. And, oh, it'll be back and forth.
Why doesn't the money go towards reducing the alcohol tax? And we'll be like, well, it's probably not going to help the pandemic of obesity.
Won't help the chaplains either.
If anything's hurting a chaplain, it's good with me.
Yeah, we love all our chaplain listeners.
Yeah, we love all of our Jesus-loving listeners. Yeah. JLLs,
we mentioned the Christians early on.
What were we
thanking the Jesus... the Christians.
No, something or another. Nuns on the booster
We'd like to thank Jesus for listening as well.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Thank you. He's a long-time listener, never-time rider. Oh, imagine that. Imagine if he rode in next week.
Yeah,
that would...
in the sky.
In the sky. He just did Seven Land
just
Hand.
Just a hand.
All
seven
clouds.
Land hand.
Seven Land Hand. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
We're not setting that publicity start up for next week or anything.
No, we haven't got the budget.
Sky riding.
remember the deficit, the Seven Land Hand deficit. We mentioned it a few weeks ago.
Our sky riding budget is separate to that. I'm pretty sure.
It's not looking good. The overheads are huge on this thing. Have you seen the...
Skywriting? Skywriting's cheap nowadays.
Is it?
I've got three or four unemployed skywriting friends. Right. They'll do skywriting work on the slide.
Right. I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go for it.
I'll get all four of them to do it.
Sooner or later, we're going to get sponsors that are going to pay us to do this.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Imagine that. We could be selling out. It's just completely selling out and be going, hey, eat this chocolate bar. It's great. Well, I love this legal team.
Definitely.
Every time I need legal services...
Which legal team was that? Just say the name. I've forgotten it. I'm going to write it down.
Oh, that will be... insert your company name here.
Yeah.
Well, how much would that have cost, that little spot? couple of grand.
$200? Well, we could buy one letter in the sky
somewhere
with that.
In between. Okay. Yeah. No, we're getting that. We're doing that, aren't we?
All right. Towards Skyrim.
Everybody look to the sky this week. Yep. Fortnite. You'll see some Seven Land Hand stuff.
Yeah. Get it
up
there.
That'd be great, won't it?
Yeah.
Get it up there. That's what they said on the Siphon Soul card.
We'll spend our first advertising check on just writing shit yeah in the sky.
Oh, no, it'd be in shit.
And shit. apostrophe. That's a small bit. And then in shit. Yeah.
Listen to Seven Land Hand and shit.
And shit, yeah.
Yeah, except we shouldn't say that because people probably just listen to the in shit, which is probably all the good stuff.
Skywriting is one of those underused forms of advertising nowadays.
It is.
I remember I went to the beach a few summers ago and it was just like, vote something, like drag behind a plane. I was like, that's not working. But people are like, oh, yeah.
What's
it
going to spell, man? What's it going to spell? Seven. Land. Oh, it's all gone.
Oh, it's gone. It's windy today. Shit.
All right. Well, that was not texts and tweets. Posts and tweets. Right in.
P&T.
Right in. Get a Seven Land Hand badge.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like Ian Lau.
Like Ian Lau. Yeah, thank you. That family's raking it in. Raking in all the prizes that they have to offer.
Yeah, they'll be high-fiving and... Seven Land Hand, underground teams. Mm, we'd love to give a whole bunch more out. So please,
if you'd like to sponsor us and give us stuff to give away, Snickers.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who was Snickers owned by? Mars. Mars Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd settle for Snickers Company. Honestly.
Yeah. All right. Next fortnight, we've got Malarial Matt McHale.
Mucus rag Matt McHale.
Mucus
He's
rag.
Not a mucus rag, he just has a mucus rag.
Yeah, but it's going to be all about Terry Pratchett next pod.
Be trucking our way into the disc world
Morpork.
Of Ankh-Morpork.
Yeah, which is an old favourite. We'll be playing that like crazy over this next fortnight refresh ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Grab a copy in the meantime.
Yeah.
So join in with the discussion.
So that you can know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because the Dominion one, I think, was a slow burner in that. We talked about how to introduce Dominion, how to start playing Dominion, but then the top 10... You had to know what each of the cards did to kind of get going.
Funny.
So you've got to go back and listen to you play Dominion. But
it's not like our top
10
is not to be funny without prior knowledge. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It'll vary just to be from funny. Week to week. Yeah. Depending on how I feel.
Oh, well, in a fortnight's time, I look forward to your Terry Pratchett-related Ankh-Morpork top 10.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're just about done.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right. I've got one more conspiracy booster here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to open that one.
Okay.
And I'm going to...
Make sure we hear the noise. It sounds more genuine. Don't snort. Oh, I said don't snort it. Oh, Jesus. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
That's your eyes. One eye's pointing in a different direction.
Dave, do you know what Crook Claw Transmuter does?
No. This is going to be a short conversation.
Courier Hawk.
Yes. I did. That's
no cheating. No cheating.
That's terrible. Look at his eyes. No, yeah. Go.
He's wearing the bra of Phage the Untouchable.
Yeah, the Untouchable.
Okay.
That's
if you
a
had
lie.
To guess the power and toughness of Reckless Scholar.
Reckless Scholar would be a 2-3.
2-1.
Ooh.
Very close.
Yeah,
that's
they
good.
Had a 2 in it.
Enraged Revolutionary. I'm going to show you the art.
Yeah.
Tell me what celebrity does it look like.
Henry.
I don't know why I need to cover the text.
What celebrity does Enraged Revolutionary look like if you cover up the text? I don't know. Tell me. What's the answer?
No, I was asking you.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Someone off Game of Thrones.
Here's another question for you.
Yeah.
Is the artwork for Vent Sentinel...
Shit.
...done by the same guy that did the terrible magma arm on Flowstone Blade?
I don't know.
I'm going to show you the artwork here.
No.
It's like an entire being made of a Flowstone arm.
No, that's
arm.
Not that's not Alan Williams' work.
No. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 7, Fear, if you met this
four-capped
spider in the forest... Would you shit your pants?
Would I lose my shit? Yes. He's got spores all over him. No, he hasn't moved in ages.
He's a spore cat spider. He's stuck there, right?
He's stuck there.
Not scared because he can't move?
No, one.
That's good. Okay. Next question is, how much money would I have to pay you to dress up like the man in the artwork for Compulsive Research?
Probably not much. Let's have a look.
you have to supply the costume materials.
You'd have to turn me into a late 70s cartoon character first. Just forget about that one.
How many spooky faces are in the artwork for Alter's Reap?
12.
Yeah. Oh, correct.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
In which set was Baldwere Intimidator first printed?
It's always the Kamigawa.
Kamigawa's wrong.
Wow, so close. One of the other ones.
Oh, yeah. At what point in throwing a pile of chicken bones in the air is this person in skeletal scrying?
No, he's in the catching phase.
He's in the they're falling back down
to his hands, yes.
Is this person on fire for raging to go into battle, or just on fire, flaring?
No, they're hobby reasons. He's on fire for hobby reasons. You can tell. He's on fire and he's loving it. You can tell.
What is the flavor text of Grenzo Dungeon Warden?
Grenzo Dungeon Warden. It's...
I'll show you the artwork so you can get an idea of the flavor text from there.
Oh, yes. I know that one.
Yep.
It's... You will never guess where I hid the key.
Oh! That's good. Actually, doesn't have flavor text. That's a trick question. Oh,
God damn.
And we've opened...
It would have... It did have flavor text. It's just that the text they put on there...
The flavor text is to put the bottom card of your library into your graveyard. This is very boring. If it's a creature card, put it onto the battlefield.
Oh, it did have flavor text.
And we opened a $20 foil.
Oh, you're shitting me.
Fact or fiction?
I just lost my shit.
I just nearly pissed myself.
Yes.
And then we've got a sentiment dispatch so you can start the game with a 1-1.
Wow.
That's great.
All right. Well,
fact or fiction, that's yours. Well done for winning the quiz.
Thank you. What are we doing? Fact or fiction.
We're spending our advertising budget from Good Games very well.
Well, I think I'll sell that fact or fiction and then be another letter on the sky writing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the bottom bit of the H. Yeah.
Oh. See you in a fortnight.
Bye.
Or, you, Aaron. Unless we bump into each other like tomorrow.
Oh, that might happen. Mm. That'd be...